Good morning, everybody. This is Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Time is 10:37 a.m., and I want to open the LSB board meeting.
All right.
Good morning.
Hello. Announce your name and your position.
Okay. My name is Paul Roberson, and I'm going to be the chair for this meeting. So I do apologize in advance. I'm not particularly well-versed in Robert's Rules of Order, so I appreciate your patience, and I do my best to effectively and respectfully moderate the meeting. Hopefully we can get through this as quickly and expeditiously as possible, okay? Hey, good morning, brother. I hear you on there.
Good morning, Paul. We are electing a chair this morning.
Yes, we're aware. We just, we got it. We are going to do that.
And Janine can give out her phone number for those that don't have access to email so they can text her their preference.
Okay. So let me pull up this agenda and see where we're at here.
Paul, remember that we are on live stream, and I don't think it's a good idea for Janine to give her number out. She should text it.
I think she's
going to
be emailing it, though, I believe, right?
I've already emailed it. It's been sent.
Yeah, so.
Along with John Gary.
Yeah, and thank you for that.
Why don't we call the roll?
All right, so, I guess, could we call the roll call, please?
Okay. Grace Aaron. Here. Grace Aaron present. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron present. Michael Adler?
Present.
Michael Adler present. Michael Atkins? Oh, wait. I think we are waiting to seat him. Alan Beek?
Present.
Alan Beek present. Fred Blair?
Present. Somebody's making one.
Present.
Hold on. Somebody's making a lot of noise. Would they please mute their microphone?
Sandy Childs.
Here.
Sandy Childs present. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Bella DeSoto present. Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan Goodman present. Beth Van Guten.
Present.
Beth Van Guten present. Eric C. Jacobson.
Present.
Eric C. Jacobson present. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Avelia Jones present. Ali Lexa requested a
I'm here. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Ali Lexa present.
I'm here.
Yes, I hear. Thank you.
I might have to leave early, but I'm here.
Okay. Barbara Marva. Barbara, can you say that again?
Present.
Barbara Marbach present. Michael Novick.
Present.
Michael Novick present. James Osborne.
Present.
James Osborne present. Lydia Ponce. Okay. I will circle back. Lawrence Reyes.
Present,
Secretary.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Lydia Ponce is here. Lydia Ponce present.
Oh, thank you very much. Lydia Ponce present. Lawrence Reyes present. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Paul Roberson present. Mansoor Sabah requested an excused absence for work. Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasiliev asked for an excused absence. Harvey Wasserman.
Present.
Harvey Wasserman present. Kiana Williams. Anyel Field. Okay, circling back. We have Mansoor Sabah. Oscar Ulloa. Kiana Williams.
Present.
Thank you. Kiana Williams present. And Anyel Field.
Oh, and Anya asked for an excuse of absence.
He did?
Yes.
Okay. So we have 20 present.
Hey, Paul, this is Jim.
Yes,
can I make a request of you, please?
Yes, sir.
Paul, there is someone who's either doing the dishes or doing work in their office that is really making a racket through their microphone. Could you please announce to all the members that if they're not going to speak, to put their microphone on mute?
Yeah, so to kind of reiterate what he just, his request, like you said, it is particularly loud because I hear it over here too. If you guys aren't speaking, including myself, he just mute so that, you know, the meeting can be, so that we can all hear. Because remember, this is being recorded. So it'll definitely help with the flow of the meeting if you just mute yourself if you're not speaking. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul, the way to do that is star 6 to mute and star 6 to unmute.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bella. So we just did the roll call. So do you want to I guess go to approve to the approval of excused absences? I know we mentioned a couple.
Ken to the back.
Yes, Mr. Ken.
I object to any excused absences.
Object to any? Okay.
Anybody?
I also object, Bella.
Okay, so we have two objections to excused absences. Okay. So it sounds to me, I guess we just got to go through them individually like we kind of been doing. So, Ms. Janine, can you go through the names of those who are excused or who have requested
Paul?
Excused absences? Yes.
You have to go to a vote.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I guess we'll go to a vote. So a vote for excusing the absences, correct?
Yeah.
So, Ms. Janine, can you go to the list so that we can vote whether to excuse the absences?
Of the people who request it.
Okay. I as far as I know from the agenda, we're on reading the mission statements. I'm... And then seat new members. I just wanted to, in case you don't have it in front of you, I'm just trying to.
Barbara for the stack.
Yes, Ms. Barbara.
Yeah, so I think the first thing we need to do, because the agenda says draft, is approve the agenda.
And then Barbara, come to the mic, please.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we need to do is...
Actually, it's correct. I do have the... now I do have the agenda. It was kind of loading in my phone. But the first thing we actually do have up first is reading of the mission statement. Ms. Bella, would you like to do that?
Unfortunately, Hold on. I have it.
I can read it if for Pacifica.
Hi, this is Oscar. Just recognizing that I got in.
Thank you.
I had to use for people who are asking. I see a lot of people asking for the codes. I think that the one that Fred sent for the last meeting, I think it does work. So probably it might be the same one. But I just have to go back to the July emails. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Janine, can you read the mission?
You know,
okay,
I'll read
so
it.
This,
if someone else.
We're talking about the Pacifica Foundation mission statement, correct?
Correct.
Yes,
uh-huh.
I can read it.
Okay.
I also have it in front of me.
Then you can. I don't have a problem. Whoever.
Okay. The Pacifica mission statement to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved should be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. Can someone mute, please?
Paul, please tell the individual that's breathing into the phone to mute and tell everybody else to mute. It's very disrespectful for the member that's speaking.
Let me unmute myself. Yeah, again, if you're not speaking, can you just mute your microphone because you're breathing or making noise in the background? It's kind of inhibiting our ability to hear as well as speak. Thank you.
It's for the benefit of everybody. Okay. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory action of the commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, to promote the aid of and other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting, operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonism. In radio broadcasting, operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to resources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So next on the agenda, it says seat new members, but I was trying to do the, approval of an excuse absence request, but it seemed like it kind of flowed better because it was directly after, the roll call. But apparently we have to approve the minutes from the last meeting, so I guess we could do that. Has everyone seen the minutes from last month's meeting?
Yeah, Matt, you recognize Lawrence.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't mean to be meticulous, but I believe that we should follow the agenda and what's next on the agenda. The
seating new members. Okay.
Yeah, and then you can overlook the roll call because we already did that, and then approve the proposed agenda. Thank you, Chair.
All right. So we have a couple of new members to seat. Are those individuals present on the phone?
It's only one.
Okay.
Michael Atkins, I'm here and present.
Michael Atkins. Good morning, Mr. Atkins.
Good morning.
Yes, I guess we could just start with that process to get you seated. Welcome to the board. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah. Sure. Just to introduce myself to everyone here. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Michael Atkins here. It's an honor to join everyone on this board. Just to introduce myself to some people, I'm very accustomed to these long board meetings and these call-in meetings. I was reflecting when I got the call this week that I'd been on the Library Commission and the Planning Commissions all week, and I'll be ready for Sunday. But my day job, I work for Friends of the LA River, a notable nonprofit here in Los Angeles. We're committed to equitable public access and ecological restoration along the LA River. And we seek to embolden community voices to speak to the city and affect change. And I just wanted to, again, just very briefly state that I'm very excited to join this team, carry the torch forward with KPFK. It's very important to carry that torch in these dark times, and I believe in the institution of KPFK and the radio to act as a unifier. So thanks, and pleasure to be here.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome. Pleasure to have you.
Michael Lovis of the Specs.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to make a motion that the LSB thank Michelle Manos, who left the board, creating the vacancy that Michael is filling, for her service as a board member and as chair up till now, and wish her well in her future endeavors.
Yeah, no, I'll second that motion. Right on. She'll be happy to hear that. Yeah, so we'll insert that in the minutes. All right, so we did a roll call. So the next thing is to approve the proposed agenda. So I move to approve the proposed agenda. I think you all have it in front of you, received it in your email.
Second, Bella.
Right.
Paul, if I'm not mistaken, yes. The chairs aren't supposed to make motions. You can request a motion. If you need a motion, I'll make that motion. So moved.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go. Thank you.
And I think you got a second.
All right. Well, cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then the next one is nominations for chair.
No, excused absences, right?
It says here, it just says approve proposed agenda. And then the next part, E, is nominations for chair.
Oh.
So,
Paul?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am?
If I can suggest, you've had a motion and a second to approve the agenda, then there would be discussion so that if anybody
on readiness.
Thank you. And then if no one objects, you can adopt it as is, or if there are objections, then you'll need to vote on it.
Thank you. So any objections to approving the proposed agenda? Any in readiness?
Point of order. We have to approve the excused absences, approve or reject.
Yes.
Before we go into the rest of the meeting, or appoint, take nominations to chair.
Okay. So I guess we're asking for
unanimous consent on the minutes, right?
Yes. Well, this is the proposed agenda.
Okay. This is Grace. I'd like to amend the agenda.
Yes, Ms. Grace.
Yeah. I think we're in discussion of the agenda approval. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
Okay.
There were no objections.
Okay. I would like to... and speaking with our new board member, Michael Atkins, the other day, he's very interested in Pacifica programming, as I think we all are. And I would like to suggest that we add an agenda item of an open one-hour discussion about programming at KFK, if the board would consider that. To be added to the end of the agenda.
I would second that motion as Michael Atkins.
And I second it also.
Okay, I'm opposed to the motion with respect to time limits.
I second that.
Okay.
Can you state your name when you make a motion?
Okay, it's Grace. I made the motion, the main motion.
Okay, so your motion is to add 1 hour of discussion at the end of the meeting or end of the agenda. And a topic of programming?
1 hour discussion about programming. Okay.
Okay. And I think
Michael
it was seconded. Okay. Mr. Michael, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the time limit, I note that Roman numeral 3 in the current agenda is a general manager report and discussion for 30 minutes, and the general manager requested an excused absence, so I assume there is no report, so that time would be available in terms of the overall time of the meeting. If we had an additional discussion, that maybe we could make it a 30-minute discussion for an hour.
Hard to hear you, Michael.
Yeah, Michael, you were a little blurred, please.
Okay, I said that on the current agenda, we have a 30-minute item for a report from the general manager, Roman numeral 3, but the general manager requested an excused absence, so that time would be available for the discussion that Grace mentioned, but that's 30 minutes, not an hour. So I don't know if she wants to reconsider the time, the duration of her proposal.
Jim to the stack, Paul.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Jim.
Okay, Jim. All right, Mr. Jim, uh-huh.
Chair, I would ask, Grace, if she would kindly reconsider the time and perhaps, as Michael just indicated, we use the 30 minutes for the discussion, which would be fruitful, but I've got some things on that I have to do this afternoon. Maybe some other board members do, but that's a great idea, Michael, to use that time.
Okay. Grace, for the to respond?
Yes, Ms. Grace, uh-huh.
Yeah, I would be amenable to that. It's just that the motion now belongs to the body because it's been seconded. So somebody, Jim, possibly make an amendment to my motion. Just reduce the time to 30 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would just make a motion to amend Grace's motion to limit the discussion to about 30 minutes.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Bella.
Chair, I second that motion.
Is someone in the background?
Sorry.
It's kind of hard to hear.
Chair, I second that motion. This is Lawrence.
Okay, you second that motion? Okay, cool. And then
I am on the stack.
Yes, Ms. Bella.
I was going to second that motion since I was on the stack. But I want to say that Grace can then bring that motion to the proposal to the governance committee so that we can stabilize it and, incorporate it into our timeline for the next agenda so that it can be an hour.
Chair, Lawrence to the stack.
Yes, sir.
I just want to state my objection to that respectfully. I think we should add the 30 minutes at the end of the agenda as it was requested and have a discussion. I don't see why the governance committee needs to sort of screen this motion. It's ridiculous. So I object to the suggestion from Bella.
Eric, in the back.
Hi, Mr. Eric. Uh-huh.
Yes. I'd like to offer a friendly amendment if Grace would consider. It seems like our main goal here is to allow Mr. Atkins to address us with respect to his concerns about programming, and I totally agree. That would be very, very useful for us to hear our newest members' perspectives. But I don't think we should necessarily throw it out for a full board discussion today. Rather allow Mr. Atkins to address us at a length he considers reasonable. He might want to have 15 minutes just to speak his piece on this subject with some very limited Q&A afterwards. But in principle, it's a discussion that the LSC could have in more depth at a future meeting. It just seems that it's essentially motivated by a desire to allow our newest member to address us, and I fully agree that would be very useful for us. But I don't want us to consider that we're exhausting that subject in any way. So I'm kind of partially supporting Bella's idea and somewhat modifying what we're doing today to include, because there's so many of us who would like to chime in on this subject. But our main, to focus this a little bit, our main goal is to hear from Mr. Adkins as the newest voice on our body in terms of this issue. Thank you. And by the way, can I add a P.S.? Somebody needs to be muted. Would Mr. Blair, Fred, if you would, could you look at the console and just mute this person, because it's now starting to interfere with our focus and concentration at this meeting. If the person won't voluntarily mute.
And can we appoint a timer? Does anyone want to do a timer?
Lawrence to the back.
Fred here. Could I respond to Eric? I've been trying to. I can't locate the source of the noise.
Yeah, that's just trying to be respectful and responsible when police ourselves is extremely loud in the background. Like it sounds like air or something. So if you're doing work in the background, just mute your phone, please. We do have a motion, and I think
Chad Lawrence to the back.
Yes.
Can I go?
Yes.
Okay. Respectfully, I object to this idea as well. I don't want to diminish the concern that Mr. Adkins has, but I believe that all our board members are equal participants, and to just hear from one board member, although noble, I think that Mr. Adkins will benefit from other board members also discussing this issue. Thank you, Chair. So I object.
Okay.
If I just may, this is Michael Adkins. I just want to offer, thank you, Grace, for raising this. And I just want to state for all parties here, whether we have a 15-minute, 30-minute, or one-hour discussion ultimately, my aim is also to hear from all of you as well. So I just want to be clear about that as we consider the time span that will be appropriate for this block in this agenda or future agenda. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Bella to the stack, please, Mr.
Yes, Ms. Bella. Uh-huh.
Yes, I was going to say exactly that, that this would be an opportunity for all of us to chime in on the nagging situation that we always come upon at this meeting, and that is programming. That is the big P, and we never have time. So I'm all for it. I'm supportive of it. And again, I propose that we incorporate this as a standard in our agenda moving forward. But today we have 30 minutes that we can all chime in and Mr. Adkins can be heard. So there's no reason why Michael's proposal to use the GM space should not be utilized. We have
Understood.
Already lost so much time.
It's for the stack.
Ms. Grace, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd like to call the question on this motion and the amendments.
Second.
So
this is Eric F. to the stack, Paul. I'll withdraw my amendment. Thank you.
Okay. So I think the motion was just simply to have a 30-minute discussion at the end of the agenda for programming?
No, during the GM.
That is the amendment that Jim...
Okay, amendment is at the end of the agenda, Bella.
Yeah, at the end?
Sorry.
But I think we're going to utilize the time that was, you know, the 30 minutes allotted to the general manager's report and discussion. So, yeah.
Correct.
So you want to vote on that?
Maybe you want to just ask if there are any objections to that.
Any objections to that?
Hearing none.
All right, no objections. Hearing none. I guess the motion passes. So we'll add it.
Yeah.
Added at the end?
No, during the general manager time.
Chair, point of personal
privilege.
I'm getting these text messages in my email from Ms. I'm not going to say who, but can you please stop doing it? Because you're flooding my email. So please stop doing it. There's two individuals, and they know who they are. So please stop texting my email. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you. Sorry, moving right along. So we still have to approve the proposed agenda. I think it was seconded by Ms. Beth. There was no objections. Cool. So the proposed agenda is approved. So the next step is nominations for chair. I think we have. I want to say two. I do apologize. So when you asked me put in the stack, I just speak loudly because since I can't see you, it's kind of hard to hear you at times. So who was that?
Michael Novick to the stack.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Stack.
All right. Fred to the stack.
Mr. Novak, yes, sir.
I wanted to nominate Elizabeth Von Gunten for chair.
Okay. And do you accept, Ms. Beth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we have one nomination for Ms. Beth. I think Ms. Bella, you're on the stack.
Well, my thunder was stolen by Michael Novick. I nominated her yesterday. I put that through John P. Gary.
Okay.
Beth Von Gunten.
Chair, point of order.
Lauren? Yes, sir.
Okay, so email nominations are not in order. I mean, you cannot do that. That preempts the whole process of having a board meeting. So please, anyone, do not do that because it's not within order. Thank you.
Jim, to the back. Did I have Mr. Fred Blair?
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Ken Aaron.
Ken Aaron? Okay. So we have a nomination for Ken Aaron. Do you accept, sir?
Who nominated?
Mr. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair.
And there's an echo.
Ken, you've got a horrible echo. Ken, there's a really loud echo.
No, wait. I support Beth. Thank you, Fred, okay. But I support Beth.
All right. Thank you. And I think there was another person that was on the stack. I couldn't hear you, though.
Jim to the stack.
All right, Mr. Jim. Yes, sir.
Barbara Marbach.
All right, Ms. Barbara Marbach, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other nominations? Oh, okay. So we have three people who are nominated, Ms. Beth. Well, actually two, and Ms. Barbara. Ken said no. So I guess 90 seconds to kind of to speak and, you know, say whatever. Ms. Beth, do you want to go first since you're nominated first?
Sure, I hadn't actually planned on saying anything, but I agreed to do this because I think it's important that we establish more functional and regular processes and get better at our meeting process, and because we have a lot of business on plate, and I'd like to see us get more done. So I agreed to accept the nomination. I had a few people contact me in the last few days. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Beth. Ms. Barbara, do you want to say anything?
Sure. I'll say something. Hi, this is Barbara. I've been on the local station board since 2016. I volunteered as parliamentarian for that first year. Then the next year, I was nominated as vice chair. I have a lot of experience in regards to facilitating meetings, interagency meetings that have 15 people, making sure everybody's heard. I really believe very strongly in the Pacifica mission statement and think this is an essential resource and committed to make sure that it's available to all of us. So my summary and vote for me. Okay.
That's all right. Cool. So I received an email. I think we all did, I guess, of how we're going to vote today. I guess via email. Did everyone receive the email?
Yes.
All right.
I have not, Michael Atkins.
Okay. Can we get him an email?
Paul?
Yes.
Hello? This is Ali. Yeah, I saw several emails. I'm not sure which one is the final decision on how we're submitting our votes.
That's actually a very good point because I'm really not sure myself. I did see a lot of discussion and recommendations, but I just assumed it was going to be the – yeah. What are we going to do?
Can Fred have the floor?
Janine? Yes.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I think the email was an email that I responded to from Janine about the election. And I basically stated that when we do email ballots for the P&B, they're not done in real time because there's just too many problems with that. Some people don't have access to email at the time of a meeting. I would urge that if we do a instant runoff election for chair, that we don't try and do it during the meeting itself. It just seems to me that that's fraught with too many problems. Normally, it takes we just did an election for the director for the coordinating committee from on the P&B, and that took 4 days. For everybody to get their emails.
Point of information. This is just two candidates. It's just a simple however many votes are collected. Yeah. There's nothing really involved with it.
I realize how simple it is, but normally we don't I don't know if everybody has access to email today to be able to send an email with their choice to the tellers. That's the basic problem.
Well, I guess we can ask right now. Is there anybody on the board now who does not have access to their email?
Eric, to the stack, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I do have access to email, but I didn't receive this email Fred's referring to. What time was it sent?
Jim, to the stack.
I think it was sent at 10:17 a.m. Mr. Jim? Yes.
Yeah, I think that I'm not going to use the email address, say it out loud, but it's to Janine Rowan and to J.P. Gary. That was the email that was sent around this morning. So everybody look for the email that has the email addresses of Janine Rowan and J.P. Gary, and that's the my understanding of the most current, those are the two people who we are going to mail our email ballots to. And if anybody has further information, that's great. But that's at least a start. So look for that email.
In the subject line, KPFK proposed procedure for chair election today. And that initial email was sent at 9:58 a.m. today.
I did not receive that email. This is Lydia Ponce.
Okay.
I'll forward it to Michael Atkins and Lydia Ponce.
I have never seen Michael Atkins.
Eric Jacobs.
Okay, Michael,
Fred, can you add me? Fred, can you add me?
Hello, this
email. Eric, thank you.
In the email that Paul just described, it starts off with an email address, but then it also has phone numbers for texting. Are both forms valid or which?
Bella to the stack, please.
Okay, you're in the stack, Ms. Bella. 1 second, please. One second, Ms. Bella. We're trying to get that question answered about the phone, because that's a very good question, actually.
I am asking that. I am going to address that right now.
Okay.
I don't see any issue with texting Janine, so that Janine can get it over to John P. Gary. That was the agreement. earlier. For those that cannot do it via email, they can simply text Janine. They cannot text John P. Gary. And then she will forward it to him. And everyone will have an identifiable code that they will decide on their own, so that they can each, every person can be identified. So I don't see any problem with that.
Back to the stack.
Yes, Ms. Beth.
If we just asked if there was anyone that didn't have access to email this morning, and there was no response to that, indicating that evidently everyone does have access to email. And so it would probably be most simple and the cleanest process just to stick to email. If everyone has access, then access isn't an issue. And rather than have some votes come in as text and some as email, and have to juggle that, the variation, I suggest we just stick to email.
Okay.
Barbara from the staff?
Yes, it's Barbara.
Okay, so I'm looking at an email that just was sent at 12:58 p.m. from Janine, proposed procedure. And each voter should send an email to both John, and I will name the candidates and the rank of 1, 2, 3. So she lists John Gary's email and Janine's email. So nobody else is receiving this email, or
everybody has to
use this procedure?
Yeah.
This is Grace.
So why can't we use this procedure then?
We are going. Yeah.
This is Grace.
Yes, Ms. Grace.
You know, I just voted, and John Gary responded and said that I hadn't put a bracketed word in with the vote. So please remember that. Put any old word in that identifies you without using your name inside brackets along with your vote so it doesn't get rejected.
Lawrence to the stack.
Mr. Lawrence, you're on?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Can somebody text me John's email? Because I only have Janine's. Thank you.
Yeah, I text you.
I can send it to you, Lauren.
Jim to the stack.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Can I add a point of personal preference? Grace, can I ask you a question to please clarify? Is it all right to put our name on it, or is Mr. Gary... Well, can you clarify that that point you just made?
Can I read the proposed procedure?
Do that.
Okay, so this is what's in the email that went out this morning. It says each voter sends an email to both John and I, meaning Janine, me, with the name of the candidate in rank order, number one, number two, etc. You are not required to vote for all or any of the candidates, but you must send an email with a vote or, quote, present, not voting, etc., so that all voter intentions are recorded. Also, self-selected word or code should be included in brackets. John and I will then publish votes with the bracketed code words in order for members to check their ballot while maintaining voter anonymity. So then I have John Gary, which is jpgary@sbcglobal.net, and Janine Roan, jroan@jigsawpictures.net. And then I added, this procedure has been used before previously in online chair elections. It does not require Jay Gary to be on the call. However, he's available to join if needed. Please let me know if there's any issue. Thank you.
All right, so I just sent my vote through.
Lauren, Mr. Vice Chair, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
I got the test, Bella. I voted. Thank you.
Good, excellent.
So does everybody have the email? Everyone's good.
Just ask if everyone has voted.
Has everybody voted?
I have sent my email to Janine.
Okay.
Is there anyone who hasn't voted?
I'm just sending the vote now, Paul. I'm just sending the vote now.
Mr. Beaker, are you on the phone?
This is Oscar. Yes, I am here. I am just completing my voting.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is Oscar. I'm sorry. I've been driving. I'm just pulling to a place so that I can safely send a message. Probably just 1 minute. Thank you.
No, thank you.
I believe I have now succeeded in voting.
All right, fantastic.
This is Barbara. Will there be an acknowledgement from John or Janine if they received their vote or in an email?
Mansoor's here. Mansoor's here.
Good morning, Ms. Mansoor. We hear you.
Good morning. Sorry that I'm working right now, but just like I mentioned in my email that I tried to call in.
Thank you.
We're voting, Mansoor. Do you have the voting instructions?
Sure. Are we voting for the chair or?
Yes.
For the chair, huh?
Yeah. I'm voting for Barbara.
Okay. You have to send an email. Yeah,
it's a secret ballot, but thank you.
You're going to send an email?
Yes.
Please do so. Okay. All right. Thank you.
No,
I'm not at my home.
Mansoor, we're not going to send an email. You need to send an email.
Oh, so send an email to LSB?
No.
I'll send it to Janine. Okay, thank you. I'm not home. I'll be home later on today. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thank you, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Huh? He's not voting? He's not voting now?
You have to
vote now,
Buzz.
I can vote now.
Okay, Mansoor, I just texted you the email address that the people it goes to, John, Gary, and Janine, and I just texted it to you. Just text the name of the person you want to vote for in a word. All right, thank you.
Okay, All right, thank you. I'll do it right now. Thanks for the text. Bye-bye.
This is Oscar. Thank you for the patience. I already voted and my both email address. Thank you. I'll put myself.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. So now we're just awaiting the results, I presume. while we're waiting for the outcome of the nomination for the chair, can we at least go and do the approval of the excused absences and, you know, just kind of finish some, those minor steps?
Yeah, that sounds good.
And just kind of come back? Okay, cool. Pardon? All right, so we're going to go back to the nominations for the chair. They're going to compile the vote. We're going to go to approval of excused absence requests. I believe Mr. Ken Aaron and Ms. Bella DeSoto, they stated they had objections to all the excused absences. So we have to go to a vote. So Ms. Janine, can you go through the list of those who requested an excused absence? And we'll just go through and, I guess, vote on whether or not to excuse it. All right. Can we do that?
Well, we originally had a few excused absences, but now the only two that we have are Paulina.
Paulina.
And we have Aniel Field, but he's not a board member. So it would just be Paulina.
Okay.
She said she wasn't feeling well.
Beth to the stack?
Yes, it's Beth,
Aniel is indeed a board member. He's an ex officio board member, and his job description says he's supposed to be here. And so if he's not, he needs to be marked, not voting, no, but in terms of roll call and whether the absence is excused or not, we haven't been given any reason for his absence. And so... Yes, it's
you're not
going to
seriously punish him for not being at the board meeting. What do you? It's really fruitless to start tabulating.
Point of order. Please request the stack before you speak.
Lawrence to the stack.
All right, Mr. Lawrence. Yes, sir.
Thank you. For the record, since it's the responsibility of the GM. As an ex officio to be at the meeting, marking them absent is not a punishment. I'm sorry.
Michael Novak to the stack.
Yes, sir, Mr. Michael Novak.
Yeah, I believe the question of excused absences only arises because if you have three unexcused absences, you're off the board. And so since that does not apply to the GM, I don't think there's any reason to vote on excusing the absence. I think it only applies to Paulina as a board member. The chair is an ex officio member, but there's no such penalty for the absence.
Lawrence to the stack.
Bella,
all right, Ms. Bella, and then Mr. Lawrence on, and then we'll kind of move on.
Hello. I asked to be on the stack first.
Who is that?
Ali.
Okay.
This is Ali Lexa.
Okay, well, clear name before you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I did. I'm sorry if my name got cut off.
Okay.
I said it several times.
Okay.
I did, but must have got cut off. I'm sorry if this is out of order, but I just got an email back from Janine asking for a code word for my vote. Did we send out some kind of code word for these votes?
No, you pick one that is identifiable for you. Short.
Oh, it doesn't have to be identifiable. It just has to be secret. It has to be secret. It's a code word.
Make up your own code so you can certify that your vote was counted accurately.
Yeah, any word. Dog, ball, the number 1, 5, just a word.
Okay, thank you. But thank you. Sorry
Ali,
to interrupt.
Ali, place it in brackets. Within brackets, Ali.
What?
Ken to the stack.
All right, I'll add you to the stack. I think Ms. Bella was next, and Mr. Lawrence, and then Mr. Ken.
Thank you. The word must be in brackets, Ali. And, okay, but I was going to say I'm just stunned how long this is taking. This is why...
Don't take too long, then.
Yeah, we've lost so much time. I just think that we need to go to the vote right now, Mr. Paul, regarding, the excused absences one by one. I vote to excuse Paulina, but we just simply mark the GM as absent, and that's not news.
All right, cool. So the next one is Mr. Lawrence, then Mr. Ken, and then we'll vote. It's only one person. So Mr. Lawrence?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. So, again, when we did the evaluation, one of the metrics was attendance at LSB meeting. So it's not a punishment to mark the absence of an ex officio member. And the board person as well, I don't think a vote needs to be taken on the DM, just the fact that he should just be marked absent. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And Mr. Ken?
Okay, yes, very briefly. If you speed over 65, that's a fact. Did you speed or not? What the consequences of that are not what we're voting on. We're voting on do we excuse the absence or not. We're not voting on what the consequences of that are. I withdraw my objection. If it's just Polina, her absence, I withdraw my objection. And if you're not voting on Aniel, then I don't have an objection. If you're voting on Aniel,
I think the chair can rule on that, because I just feel like historically we've never voted on Aniel in the past. So I don't understand how we could just kind of arbitrarily start now. It is 11:34 a.m., and it just seems more prudent. We can acknowledge
okay,
the absence.
But I think there's no objection then to.
So we're just voting on Polina.
Objection.
I think there's no objections.
All right, objection.
All right, Abella, you don't have an objection? I thought she had an objection.
I only stated that.
Okay, cool. So there's no objections. Paulina's absence is excused. So the next step is to approve the minutes. Pardon? Approve the minutes from our previous meeting.
I have not read them. With that late.
We already did it. It's already passed.
Okay, cool. So a set time starting to adjourn?
No. The minutes have not been approved. The minutes.
Chair, this is Lawrence to the stack.
Yes, sir. It's Lawrence.
So when it comes to minutes, the minutes could be approved pending correction. So Mr. Soto could submit corrections to the minutes, whether they're approved or not. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay.
Back to the stack.
Yes, Ms. Beth.
I just received these minutes about half an hour into our scheduled meeting, so I haven't even begun to have time to read them. And I hesitate to approve anything I haven't read yet, and I would respectfully request that minutes be sent far enough ahead, not the morning of, at least 3 days ahead. So that with the agenda, so that we have a chance to review all of this before we get to the meeting. To be asked to approve things that we haven't had a chance to read isn't appropriate. Thank you.
I agree.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right. So I guess we'll just do it like what Ms. Lawrence said, is that was it approve it with changes going forward, or how did you phrase that?
We postpone approving the minutes.
All right, you could postpone, approve, you could postpone and approve, but you could always submit corrections to the minutes. That's how we do it on the PNB.
Okay, cool. Do you need a vote for that?
This is Beth to the staff.
Yes, Beth.
We could receive them, and there's too much noise. There's the same too much noise. I can't talk over that much noise. I can't hear over that much noise. So we can vote to receive the minutes as they are, and then address approval at the next meeting when people have had a chance to read them. But this way, there's a public record that we have received them. We do have them. They do exist. There's just not time to address it in this meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, it's really loud in the background. So if you could
not be recognized,
seriously, mute your phone. Yes, Mr. Lawrence.
So that's fine with me. But it's really disrespectful for whoever's driving and on their phone to continue to make that noise. So I'm hoping that Fred could mute that nonsense. Thank you, Chair.
I just did.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Fred. God, that was annoying.
All right, so we're going to vote to receive, postpone, and approve minutes, I guess, at the LSB, September LSB meeting. Does anyone want to entertain the motion to do that so that we can move along?
So moved. That's Beth.
Okay. Any seconds of that?
Second, Bella.
All right, any objections? All right, so motion passes. So, again, we're going to postpone. We're going to receive, postpone, and approve the minutes at the September LSB meeting. So the next one is to a set time, searching to adjourn. So just bear in mind that we do have a closed session at 1:45 p.m. So right now it's 11:38 a.m.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yes, sir.
Alan Dink. I second the motion to delay the minutes to the next meeting.
We already did
thank
that,
you.
Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Beek. Appreciate you.
So I'd like to suggest that we go into executive session and then adjourn at 2:30, which is 45 minutes.
Okay. So we have set time certain to adjourn at 2:30 p.m. Any objections to that? All right, I guess seconds to that? That's cool.
Excuse me,
Chair. Is that for the LSB meeting or for the closed session?
Closed.
Thank you.
Closed session, Janine.
All right. So we have a second. Any objections? All right, no objections. So it's a set time certain to adjourn is 2:30 p.m. following the closed session. So the first, we're going to have a public comment, number one. This is going to be 7.5 minutes. Is there anybody from the public on the call?
Yes.
Oh, there is? Okay. Cool. So you have 90 seconds? Yes. Is that Mr. Fred?
I'm sorry, point of order?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
We have said that, in general, the public should listen on the stream, and then at the time of public comment, we would announce how to call in to come on to make a comment. Maybe Fred can do that for the stream.
I will do that right now. The public comment pin is 674514. And you can call either of these phone numbers, area code 323-393-4046 or area code 310-409-2027. And the pin, again, the public comment pin is 674514.
All right.
And
so again, that pin number is 574-514, and the phone number is 323-393-4046.
The pin code again was 674514. And I don't see any public call in yet, but Kim Coffin has got her own pin code, and she wanted to speak as public.
Oh, cool. All right, Ms. Kim, 90 seconds.
All right. So this is Kim Kaufman. I am the chair of the Finance Committee, and the agenda is not posted to KPFTX, but somebody sent me the agenda earlier, and I see that the section for the Finance Committee still is problematic. because there is the treasurer's report listed twice and the chair report, or, you know, my, you know, the chair report is not listed at all. So I know it's too late to change. Well, you can change the agenda, but you need a two-thirds majority to do that. But I certainly would like to be included in the Finance Committee reports because I am the chair of that committee. And, you know, Michael Novick and I worked out an amendment to one of the motions today, and I would like to be able to be available to speak to it if necessary. So I'm not sure exactly. I mean, you can wait until the Finance Committee and just amend that part of the agenda when it comes up. But that's it.
All right, thank you.
The staff, Mr. Paul?
Yeah, this is public comment, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's the only public person on public comment.
Yeah. Is anybody else on there?
Well, I had an edge because I already had a dial-in number, so I was ready for this. And, you know, it would be good if the agenda was put on KPFTX and the number was on the agenda for people who, you know, read the agenda or want to speak. This is, you know, we're all in new territory here and, you know, working out the bugs, but the easier you make it for the public, I think it's more helpful. And to the public, if you didn't catch all those numbers, they are on KPFTX as well. Okay.
Duly noted. Thank you very much. And, you know,
sure.
Hopefully we could work on that, getting it, you know, disseminated before the meetings in the future so that,
yeah,
you know, there's not
just
a big gap,
you know,
because
this isn't the first time I've had to take public comment to get this section straightened out about the Finance Committee. The chairs of every committee is the one who speaks. So it's unusual to not have the chair of a committee listed. I mean, we're unusual. We have a treasurer and a chair. So we both,
sure,
you know.
Understood.
But thank you
for your comment.
And I just want to say we have really critical financial issues right now to deal with, a very problematic budget. And so this is, you know, a really important committee right now that needs, you know, extra attention until we get this budget worked out.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you.
Is anybody else on the for public comment?
I don't see anybody calling in.
Okay. I just received a text message. Ms. Janine actually posted the information, but it was just posted to the wrong meeting. So she made a good faith effort to disseminate it and to inform. But, you know, it is what it is. So, well, it'll be improved in the future. And, again, it's there now. And thanks again, Ms. Janine. You do a lot of work. And, you know, a lot of it goes unacknowledged, but we definitely appreciate you and your efforts. So again, next on the agenda, the general manager report and discussion. He's not here. He said that he had a family obligation and he's out of town, so he will be unable to be present this month. But next month, he anticipates being present for the meeting.
Bella.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, Ms. Bella.
Okay. I want to address the situation with the Finance Committee. Kim Kaufman had communications yesterday with Janine. Janine was traveling. I know it's very difficult, but this is not the first time. We really need to iron this out as soon as possible. I have brought out these issues many times regarding posting the numbers for the public, the agenda on KPFTX. The public has been shown.
Yeah, three things.
Disenfranchised. Yes. Since we switched over to conferencing, they're not participating, and this is a blemish on us. So we have to make a strong effort at governance to make sure that this is taken care of. In the meantime, I propose that we take a vote to include the motion that Ms. Kaufman mentioned and make that adjustment right now so that we
can... Point of order, Mrs. Lawrence.
Yeah, Ms. Lawrence, yes.
Yeah, this, although well taken, there is a section on the agenda for the Finance Committee. So I think this will waste a whole lot of time to discuss it. And I do agree that Kim Kaufman, as the chair of the Finance Committee, should be on the agenda as the Finance Committee chair so she could provide information and give a report. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. So, again, the agenda is posted online. Thank you, Mr. Neen. And, you know, we'll work together as a governance committee to make sure that the information is disseminated before the meeting. It really can't all fall on her. You know, it is a team. And these are some concerns that if, you know, were issues should have been brought up, you know, before last week, you know, at the meeting, when we had the opportunity to address it. So, again, thanks, Mr. Neen, for your work. And we'll proceed with the meeting. Like I said, the general manager is not going to be present today. I guess we have public comment number two.
Jim to the stack, please.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Just a quick question. Would somebody either text me or email the subject that is the confidential meeting or this closed session? I didn't get that, and if somebody would be kind enough just to send me what that's about, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I don't think it's been Fred here. I don't think it's been sent out.
You're left to the staff.
Who's that, Ms. Bella? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Bella to the staff. It's a combination of issues that will be discussed, so they were not written out per se, but is including personnel and other issues pending from previous motions passed by this body in closed session. So it's kind of
okay,
updating.
If somebody could just give me, I'm sorry, thanks, Bella. If somebody could just give me just the topic heading, I have a brief that I have to file tomorrow in court. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay for the whole meeting. And if I can just get a rough idea.
Nothing's been sent out yet. I think that's kind of what he was saying. We'll send it to you. Yes, Mr. Lawrence, huh?
Yeah, that will be inappropriate because this is an executive session, closed session item. If Mr. Osborne wants to call me, I'll be more than happy to let him know what the issues are. It says on the agenda that it's personnel and proprietary matters. So that's what it's about, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you call me,
I'm just saying,
I can text you the number and you can call me.
But I can't.
And I can tell you what it is.
Okay, but I can't.
All right,
really
so let's continue with the meeting.
Already, can't call him on the board.
Staff to the staff?
Yes, Ms. Beth. Uh-huh.
I just want to assure Mr. Osborne that he has all the information that has been sent publicly to all the other board members. There's nothing else out there that he doesn't already have. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. So, like I said, there's no general manager report or discussion. So we'll go to public comment number two, 7.5 minutes. Is there anybody?
Mr. Paul, are we going to discuss the programming issue? For 30 minutes, we took a motion.
I thought we were going to use that time, but put that at the end of the agenda.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's,
well,
yeah.
We voted
so,
put it during the GM report.
Well, we voted to
use
the time
use that time.
The 30 minutes is allocated to the end of the agenda.
Okay.
So now it's public comment number two. Is anybody from the public present that wants to speak? All right. Going once, going twice. So the next is director's reports and discussion. We have 20 minutes allocated. I know a few of you guys submitted your reports in advance. I appreciate that. Who wants to go first?
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'll go first. Unless Grace wants to go first with Dan Goodman.
No, Lawrence, you can go first as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. Jan, do you want to go first? Jan? Okay, maybe she's not on the call. Okay, I didn't submit a written report like I normally do. So, but I will submit one late. But my report just has to do with when the process, the personnel committee, which I was elected chair for to, we're in the process of beginning the search for a permanent executive director. We're going to develop a process and a timeline. And then the other stuff is proprietary, which was held in closed session. So I can't really disclose that. Also, the chair of the governance committee. The personnel committee will meet tomorrow night. You can stream it on kpftx.org. Well, I'll leave that to Grace. That was part of her report. And that's it, Chair. I don't know if there's any questions. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. I was muted. I'm sorry. Ms. Grace?
Bella, to the staff, please, for Lawrence.
All right, Ms. Bella?
Yes, Lawrence. So is it possible for you to give us an update on the union contracts regarding KPFK and KPFA?
You mean the negotiations? All I can tell you is that negotiations are ongoing, and I really cannot disclose information about the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. All I can tell you is that negotiations continue with management and SAG-AFTRA. Thank you. I don't know if I could disclose anything else, Grace.
I understand. Would you be able to discuss it during closed session?
I will have to consult with Grace Aaron and Jan Goodman.
In closed session?
Right. I have to discuss it to see if I could disclose that in closed session as well. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Bella, for the question.
Michael, to the sec.
Mr. Michael? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could say anything, Lawrence, about the current state of the COVID task force and the COVID Race and Democracy Show.
Okay. So we're in the process of doing a report out. The last two meetings, we have not been able to report out of the task force because of extended meetings and financial matters. So Paulina has the report. And we have not been able to get to that point in the agenda, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Ms. Grace?
Yes. I sent everybody several
things. Put themselves on mute, Grace. Hold on. Somebody mute themselves, please.
First of all, am I audible? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Alex and I and several other PNB directors are working on a letter, an email that will be sent out to all Pacifica members. There are a lot of interesting things that have happened. First of all, we received about $1.2 million in payroll protection funds. And so that's been very good in these difficult financial times for all nonprofits, especially radio and media. There are a lot of radio and TV stations that are just fading away and disappearing at this time. Hopefully we can stay around. The other thing is Jan Goodman is correct. We don't have absolute certainty that we will receive the $2 million to $2.7 million in the EIDL loan that we applied for, although we have received assurances that we will receive it, but we're not certain. So that part of the report is going to be adjusted. If we're not sure that we're going to be receiving that money, what that is that's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, EIDL. The 2018 audit has been completed in my report. You can access that on pacifica.org. It is now posted. our pension plans are in much better shape than they were a few years ago, much better shape. We also paid a debt of $137,506 to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that had been owed since 2003. What happened was they paid us more than we were actually should have gotten. So, and we never reimbursed the extra money that we should have back then. So we just did that recently. We also have fixed the KPFA had not paid property taxes, or the property taxes on the KPFA studios had been in arrears for about 8 years, and there was some difficulty with the name change, with the, a name change that had happened in the past. So we had to go through all kinds of legal hoops to rectify that, and that was done very capably by Lydia Brazon, our interim executive director, who also applied for the PPP funding and has applied for the EIDL loan. Okay, going down to other things, all in all, there has been a lot of increase of TV production and social media production for Pacifica, special national programming, some excellent national programming by the COVID task force. I want to really praise Paulina for doing masterful work regard to that. It was a daily show that was a must-carry at all five stations. All five stations were engaged in the production. It's now just it was all volunteer, so it's now just a once-a-week show, but it's excellent. And the other thing is we're going to be having Democratic and Republican convention coverage starting tomorrow. That's probably why Paulina is doing a lot of work on that. And it's going to be mainly produced and hosted by Verna Avery Brown, who you may remember was our national, the host of our national Pacifica news show years ago. She's really excellent. So watch for that. I would say, you know, democracy is a very messy process, and it's never smooth in my experience. I want to say that the national board and this local board has put in yeoman's work to try to surmount the obstacles facing this foundation. In difficult times for all media, you know, media money is going to social media, and iHeartRadio had to go into bankruptcy. So did Cumulus. iHeartRadio has 850 radio stations, and their commercial radio network and their ad funding had just plummeted because money is going to social media these days, advertising money. And the same thing is happening with corporate sponsorship and just donations in general. So TV and terrestrial radio has been having a really hard financial time. So in terms of the functionality of the boards, I just put together, which I sent you, all of the open session minutes from October 2019 through July of 2020. And it's, first of all, the National Board has met 3 times a month, which is a huge amount of time for the National Board to be putting in to just the National Board meetings, not counting the committee meetings and their obligations on the local station board. We have dedicated members of the National Board and the local boards who have been putting in an extreme amount of personal time and effort. This is amazing volunteerism on the part of a lot of people who care so deeply about our stations and Pacifica. I would say, looking at those motions, you can see, if you look through them, that this board and past boards in the last few years have been extremely functional. To say that they're dysfunctional, in my opinion, is really an abuse. It's abusive, and it's disparaging the incredible efforts. We have prevented bankruptcy. We saved the Pacifica Foundation $1.9 million. By negotiating an agreement with the Empire State Realty Trust. They were charging us 9% interest on the $5.7 million we owed them. We took out a loan, at 7 to 8% interest, which is better. It's not great, but it's better. The audits are getting up to date. We've now have profit and loss statements on a monthly basis, which we haven't received in years. That's a big improvement. There's a lot of things that need to be repaired in Pacifica, of course, but to say our boards are dysfunctional, hey, the United States Congress is dysfunctional too. If you want to have efficiency, go for dictatorship or oligarchy. But if you want to have democracy, you got to put up with difficult board meetings and it's difficult, but it's worth it, in my opinion. That's all I have to say, and I think that all in all, we've been doing a very good job in difficult times.
Chair, I'd like to add something.
Thank you.
This is Lauren.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Grace forgot to mention that the audit was approved, the management letter was approved, and there was something else, too. But so those things have been approved. I just want to mention one other thing. I really like to mention the entire task force, Paulina in particular, because of her, you know, putting in blood, sweat, and tears and making sure, and Akua from KPFT in Houston, Verna Avery Brown from WPFW, Michael Cohen from WBAI and Linda Perry from WBAI, Johanna Fernandez from WBAI, Ralph Pointer from WBAI, and Steve Salsa from and Ann Garrison from KPFA, and also Michael Novick, who works hard, and he's an excellent writer. He works hard in providing the minutes, and was very critical in putting a report back that we still haven't reported back to the Pacifica National Board. I just want to be able to also mention them. And, of course, you know, I'd like to also give me a little pat on the back for facilitating the task force. Thank you.
Yes. Michael Dusak with a question or a comment,
yes.
Grace.
Yes, sir, Mr. Michael. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the report and sending us all the minutes as well. I'll have to pour through them. The report itself in the letter, I thought it was really generally speaking, on the mark and a good assessment. I do think that we should be clear, however, about the perilous state of the finances. And we approved the audit, but the audit raises the question of our ability to continue as a going concern. So we need to be aware of that. I also wanted to suggest that you might, when you mentioned the national programming, two other things that were done nationally were the coverage of the George Floyd funeral from Houston by Akua Holt, which was a national broadcast by Pacifica, and the Juneteenth coverage, which was similar to the May Day that was carried on the COVID Task Force site, and I believe the Pacifica Foundation TV site. And I did want to raise around the audit that I think you're a little over-optimistic in your statement about the 2019 audit, because I don't think it is timely. I think timely would have been if it was done by the end of this month, which I doubt that it will be. Actually, that wouldn't have been timely. That would be an extension. So we need to recognize that we're still overcoming a lot of financial reporting problems and financial problems still. Thank you.
Can I respond briefly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you. Michael, can you send me the May Day, the George Floyd, and the other thing you mentioned, just a little statement about them, and link to the okay, because that would help,
uh-huh.
And I can...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and anything else you think should be put in this? Well, you know,
Eric, to the deck.
We're in the process of rapidly editing it.
Yes, sir,
okay.
Mr. Eric. Mm-hmm.
Just wanted
Please
to...
understand that what I sent you is a draft document. It will be changed. But so it's not official yet, but I just wanted to get it to you because we're not meeting for another month, so I thought you should have it because it has a lot of very good information. And you'll be receiving the completed document soon. I'll make sure to send it to this board. And Rob, Paul, I was
uh-huh.
with you, Rob. Paul,
no problem.
Thank you for being a good chair. I wish you had been willing to accept the permanent chair position. But your service is appreciated, as well as Michelle's service. So, anyway, that's all. And everybody
thank
who's
you.
patiently serves on this board.
So, Mr. Eric, you're on the stack?
Yes, I wanted to just amplify briefly on Grace's remarks about the functionality, considerable functionality of the national board. I had a view of the workings of the national PNB audit committee because I volunteer to serve as a member, even though I'm not on the Pacifica National Board myself. It's open to members of the LSBs. And in that capacity, I had a vantage on the proceedings involving the 2018 audit, which were handled, I thought, rather well, very well, as a matter of fact. It was not fully timely, but best efforts were made, and there was a spirit of some cooperation, as usual, with some disputation. As always is the case in a democracy, as Trace has referred. That was overcome. The audit was, we heard from the auditors, we heard from NEDA, our accountants, and I was impressed. I think we are on a okay track. Hopefully the 2019 audit will be completed in relatively short order, and that will be an immense benefit because, as has been stated on previous meetings, timely audits are essential to ultimately restore our CPB grant and many other grants that could be contingent, are contingent, in fact, on fully up-to-date audits. So, I just wanted to essentially support Grace's portrait of an improving, democratic Pacifica governance structure.
All right, time.
Bella, to the stack, please. I was
yes, Ms. Bella.
Chair, yes. Can I be okay. recognized, Lawrence, after Bella?
Yes, sir.
So I want to thank Grace for putting this monumental report. She was able to document quite a bit of information. It's very important for all of us to have this as a historical archive, and it's a working document, obviously, so it will be revised. But I am very concerned. I am also on the budget committee, and I had to submit a number of corrections, as did other people. At the end, these corrections were made in a timely fashion, but we were not allowed the necessary time, quality time, to really go over the entire budget. And to this, I place my complaint. Moving on, I do the other side of that equation is that locally, and this is happening all across the board at every unit, is that we are getting different reports locally, internally, that are not matching, are different from the NITA report. And so this is creating a great deal of friction and discomfort for all of us at the Finance Committee. So we're getting reports that have different numbers, and it's very difficult to reconcile everything. So this is an ongoing situation that needs to be addressed, and just wanted to put it out there. And I appreciate, also I wanted to mention on Grace report that we have a YouTube TV channel, which all of us need to support and sign up for. We need to subscribe. so that it increases in popularity, and then we can get better deals with it so that we can get more programming done, since we're getting very little cooperation to no cooperation locally for programming changes. So this is important. We need to support it. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Mr. Lawrence is next in the stack.
Okay, this is going to be very brief, Jen. I appreciate you recognizing me. I just want to say one thing to Grace. Grace is a hell of a worker. She gets the minutes out in time. She provides a historical archive, which is an amazing thing. She is a hard worker, and I really appreciate her. And the whole thing about democracy, one of the things that we all struggle for is peace and justice. And we, Pacifica, is in the middle of not just a struggle for peace and justice, but a struggle to save our network. So I think the boards are doing an excellent job at, you know, doing a lot with very little. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. All right, so next on the agenda is the Treasurer Report. We have 10 minutes allocated for that. So is that ready? Well, I guess it's going to be
hold,
the Treasurer Report and the Finance Committee. So it's going to be 40 minutes, I guess.
Governance, Chair.
Okay. Oh, my apologies. You're right. It is governance, thanks. I can't see. The Governance Committee, we have 5 minutes allocated for that.
Beth to the stack?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a brief, very brief report from the PNB Governance Committee.
Okay, sure.
Okay, hang on just a second. So I was elected to that committee back at the beginning of the year, and at the last PNB Governance Committee meeting, I was asked and agreed to chair their new Pacifica Bylaws Review Subcommittee, which was then immediately elaborated into the bylaws, policies, procedures, protocols, and documents review and compilation subcommittee. And we have yet to convene our first meeting, but now there's this process in place. Thank you.
Any comments, questions?
Bella to the stack.
And yes, Don to the stack.
All right.
Yes. Beth Van Houten, being selected to chair this body, has a great deal of work ahead of her. Is a monumental job, and I think she's well suited for it. And equally, I hope that she's elected chair of our LSB.
All right, Mr. Lawrence.
Thank you, and I really thank Beth for her diligent work on the Governance Committee. I'm the chair of the Governance Committee, and we're going to meet on the 22nd, which I believe is the 22nd? I have to get back to you on that. And from now on, it's on a Wednesday. It's on a Wednesday.
August 22nd?
Yeah, that's a Saturday, right. It's on a Wednesday, and I'll submit my governance report to the LSB this way, and I'll start doing that from now on. Thank you.
All right. Cool. So next we have the Treasurer's Report, which apparently is going to be the Treasurer's Report / Finance Committee combined.
Correct. I noted that Director Jan Goodman didn't respond in the director's reports. Okay. So we have 30 minutes for the combined treasurer's and finance committee chair's report, and there are two motions from the Finance Committee. We received the second revision of the draft KPFK 2021 fiscal year 2021 budget. I believe it was last Tuesday. Before, or actually last Wednesday, before the a few hours before the Finance Committee, looking at was that correct, Kim? Or did we get it on Monday? In any case, looking it over, the only major revision to the budget was that it was now balanced rather than unbalanced. The first version had a deficit of $500,000, and that was removed. But the new budget had no chart of fund drive schedule chart for the for year fiscal year 2021, and that's unacceptable. That fund drive chart is responsible for letting you know what the proposed listener support levels will be in the budgeted year. And all the other major and minor problems that had been mentioned in the first version of the budget had not been really fixed. So for that reason, the income levels were totally unrealistic, and payroll had major problems in it. That it on one line item, the payroll was one set of values, and in the detailed payroll numbers, I noticed somebody is making a lot of noise. Could you please mute your phone?
Well, mute them, Fred. Mute them. So disturbing.
I think. Is it still there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please mute your phone if you're not talking. Thank you.
I think I got it. I've been getting that noise on Lydia Ponce's line, and I also have Jan Goodman's line muted. I'm going to unmute Jan again, see if... Okay. Okay. Going back to my notes here. Yeah, so the projections for listener support income and payroll expenses were completely unrealistic in the proposed budget. I'm recommending to the LSB that this budget be rejected. According to the Pacifica bylaws, we don't have any other we can't do anything other. If management won't fix the budget, all we can do is reject it. We can, and that seems appropriate. And again, it's been people have been complaining. Just like today, the general manager was an ex officio member of this board. For the last year, he hasn't been present at any of the Finance Committee meetings. And the business manager is not capable of providing answers to questions about plans. That's not his function, and he shouldn't be asked for what the management's plans are for the station.
Alan Beek to the stack.
Alan, please do not interrupt my report. It's unfortunate that that we receive a budget in this poor fashion. I should also mention that the Pacifica National Board is also very much concerned about KPFK, since they've mandated a 30% reduction in expenses by management. The income levels this during the coronavirus pandemic are running complete havoc with our finances, and unfortunately, management doesn't seem to be taking timely action to deal with this. And I should also note that the Finance Committee for the last several months has asked for a fund drive schedule chart for the coming year. In fact, they asked for a fund drive schedule for the rest of this current fiscal year, and we still haven't gotten it. So I think I'm gonna end my report early, and let Kim have the floor as chair of the Finance Committee.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, we didn't, this second draft budget was, okay, somebody's got a mute. Somebody's got a mute. Thank you. The budget, the second draft was extremely problematic. It's budgeted only that you can put numbers in a cell that don't make sense. But as we went through the budget, there are a number of changes that management was asked to make after the first draft, which they have not made. And hopefully by the next draft, they will. Management has made three budgets for the last 3 years without a fund drive chart. So, you know, they're not really used to doing this. And because they haven't done it, Michael Novick just said, okay, here it is. And that's one of the motions that you'll be voting on. At some point, if management can't do that, we're going to have to do that, because we need some guidance. And it is absolutely true, there are funny numbers all over the place. I mean, there's difference between what the business manager has and what Nita has, and they change every month. And, you know, as I've said, I looked in the general ledger. It's wacky, 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 wacky. I mean, I believe that this audit said that, again, they can't believe the numbers because it's too wacky. And I can see why. And auditors do not go in there and fix stuff. They just saying, we can't believe any of these numbers. That may not be only KPFK, but it's certainly my opinion that that is going on. And in fact, the 2019 audit was due to the state of California June 30th. So it is late. Let's see. So we're not rejecting this budget. We're just making suggestions. And we have scheduled another meeting for August 26th, and hopefully we'll get another budget from management. Now, the income levels are always hard to judge because people never look at the fund drive days. I mean, I communicated with the NFC all last year or the beginning of this year, this fiscal year, because the reports were, oh, KPFK's income is higher than last year. And I kept saying, that is not true. That is not true. All they've been doing, like they've been doing for, you know, 20 years, is adding fund drive days. And that just basically killed off our listeners as of March. And they ran 2 months of fund drive, May and June, to keep up, you know, some revenue coming in. But this is just, you know, two things meeting, and it's just not working anymore. I don't know what the solution is, because KPFK's ability to raise money from the public has really just diminished at a very inopportune time. And one more thing I just want to say about counting on the EIDL loan is, from what I read, the bankers who are going to loan money for the EIDL loan are going to require that the borrower puts, well, the lender is going to require that they are the first place lien holder. Now, Pacifica already has a first place lien holder from the loan, which cannot be named. So I'm just not seeing how they're going to take a second position and that we're going to be able to get that loan. So it's just something I wouldn't be counting on. And one other thing, a correction here, the CPB money owed was owed since 2012 for the 2009-2010 audit that they did. Okay, so that's it for this. We can take questions or we can vote on the motions, including Michael's amendment. Hello?
I think Alan Beek was on the stack for something.
Well, Fred needs to unmute people.
Alan Beek is on the stack. The only
Fred
one.
Fred needs to unmute folks.
The National has put out a schedule for preparation of the fiscal year 2021 budget, and included in that schedule is a statement, I believe, is this coming Thursday, the date on which we, the local station board, will accept or will amend and accept the budget proposed to us by the finance subcommittee. They have gone beyond the bylaws, which just say we have the power to accept. They have added we have the power to amend and accept. So the burden is on us to come back with an actual budget that we think is real. And in my opinion, that calls for a lot of work, which can be done. I think there are a few people who have the knowledge to go through and meaningfully take the things that are not absolutely essential out of the expenses, take the things that can be reduced, leave the things that are, there's no choice, like the rent for the tower. We can't say we're going to cut that. It's there, and we have to stick with it. But there are things we can cut, and I think the knowledgeable people should get together and have a session and spend an hour or two, and they can go through that budget line by line and cut it enough to fit the reasonable expectation of input. And the reasonable expectation of input is a lot less than what anybody is willing to put in their projections, because then they can make a balanced budget. I'm through.
All right,
well,
thank you, Mr. Beek.
I think we've decided to give management another try at it.
Alan, Fred here. When you say they said we can amend, are you referring to the budget timeline from the NFC committee? Or you
correct.
Are, well, that's they may be loosely using the term amend, because the bylaws do not say anything about amending the budget.
No, but the National Finance Committee timeline does say you can amend it. That's what they're expecting of us.
What I'm saying is that that may not be a legal term in this case. I wouldn't take.
Well, the bylaws don't say you can't amend it. They just don't give you the power to amend it.
Michael, do the sec.
All right, Mr. Novak. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there is a motion from the Finance Committee regarding the budget, and I sent out by email earlier today an amendment to it. I would like to assume it was sort of introduced by what the chair said, so that would put on the floor the motion, and I will read my amendment to it. If that's okay, and then we could discuss that as opposed to just talking in general terms about the budget.
Fine with me. But go ahead.
Okay, so the original motion from the Finance Committee is in the minutes. In the agenda, it was circulated. The Finance Committee recommends that the LSB not approve the most recent budget submitted by management and instead propose the following: a balanced budget of approximately $2,400,000 in total expenses based on the following anticipated revenues: $1,606,000 listener support derived from 126 total fund drive days, six 21-day fund drives in October, December, February, April, June, and August at $15,000 per day and 85% fulfillment, plus $800,000 in other revenue. A total expenses of $2.4 million represents a cut of slightly over 33% of the current year's expenses of approximately $3.6 million that would be projected for the full fiscal year. Further, the KPFK Finance Committee urges the LSB to direct the general manager and business manager of KPFK to present the balanced budget within the above parameters by August 25th, 2020 at 5 p.m. If KPFK management fails to present such a budget, the IED is expected to create one with the assistance, if needed, of the KPFK Finance Committee and or LSB. If KPFK management fails to comply with the above, negative personnel reports shall be sent to the personnel files of the GM and business manager. So that was the motion as adopted by the Finance Committee at the time. However, in discussions afterwards with Kim Kaufman, the chair, and looking at the actual record of fundraising in the last couple of years, I am proposing the following amendment to replace the specific proposal of 126 fund drive days and 800,000 in additional income. So the balanced budget of 2.4 million in expenses, and this is the new language, based on demonstrable anticipated revenue streams, incorporating a fund drive chart indicating an 85% fulfillment rate on $15,000 a day in pledges, and additional income from historically justified sources, including monthly sustainers, car donations, grants in hand, studio rentals, events, book sales, etc. A suggested fund drive chart would cover six 21-day on-air fund drives in October, December, February, April, June, and August for a total under the formula above of a little over $1.6 million. If $800,000 in specified and provable additional income can be identified in a fashion to meet the station's monthly cash flow for payroll and other expenses. However, recent historical amounts of additional income beyond on-air fund drives have amounted to about $250,000 apart from bequests. If provable anticipated additional income in the amount of $800,000 cannot be demonstrated, additional fund drive days and or additional reductions in anticipated expenses will be required for a balanced budget proposal. During the course of the fiscal year, if anticipated revenues in any two-month period do not reach the anticipated level, management must make additional cuts in expenses
to match the revenue shortfall, and then the rest of the motion would proceed as originally stated. So I'm putting that amendment on the floor. If somebody wants to second it.
Bella, to the staff, please.
Will somebody second this? I totally support this because, you know, this original motion was made late in the meeting, and we didn't really have a chance to look at it critically. And so I think this is a well-warranted motion, amendment to the motion. Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Alan Beek to the stack.
I heard Bella first.
Is Paul muted?
Paul, you there? You have to
be there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was muted. Yeah, Bella, first in the stack, and then Mr. Beek.
Thank you. I support the full spirit of this motion amendment, but this information was not sent to the LSB. I have not seen the wording, the language, anywhere. Was this sent to the LSB?
I sent it this morning. Check your email.
I got it this morning, Michael.
I mean, I apologize because I had been looking at the numbers and I couldn't figure it out. And literally at 5:30 this morning, I woke up and went, oh, I get it. And then I sort of, you know, worked it out a little, went back to sleep, and then called Michael this morning. So this was just sort of like a last minute, like, I don't know what they call it, a Hail Mary or something. Because this, you know, the $800,000 that we originally said, sure, fine, is just not warranted. And we cannot pay our bills. As of September 1, I do not see how KPFK can pay its bills. After the PPP money is gone, I'm just not seeing it. So we have to be very vigilant, and we have to be very vigilant about what's going on here.
I did not get
Bella, I sent it. It's an email to the LSB at 10:11.
I just saw it. I need to finish. I need to finish what I had to say. From the NITA report, as of June, salaries against revenue are absolutely incredibly higher than anticipated, and it is in the personnel costs where all the monies are going into. And I don't know how many months now I have been sending out an analysis all the way back to 2007. So if these numbers continue to be so high and we are expected to reduce by 30%, which in my book is not sufficient, we have to start with the personnel. And this is why I asked Director Lawrence earlier, what was the status of the union contract negotiations going on? Because that's where a lot of the funds are going into, to pay up for all the benefits and all the taxes and everything else. Thank you.
Great.
All right, Mr. Beek.
Lawrence to the sack.
All right.
And Michael to the sack.
Okay. So, Mr. Beek?
Yes. Well, I'm opposed to adopting this thing because it does include a lot of unrealistic assumptions about the revenues. You can always make a balanced budget by just assuming enough ridiculous things about revenue. And this is a good, sincere effort. It's along the lines of what we have to do, but we have to do a lot more of it. And of course, we have to do our best to get National to give us some clarity on saying you're supposed to reduce your expenses, but don't fire anybody until you hear from us. and they've got to give us some information on what's happening with those negotiations. If the SAG-AFTRA is determined to force us into bankruptcy by refusing to let us fire anybody, we're going to have to probably deal with it in the law court. But we have to face that, and we aren't getting much information back of what's happening on that score. And the rest of it is just that the expenses, the programming and the development and the administrative expenses have got to be cut by about another 30%. And that's just hard work going through there and picking the things that can be cut and the ones that cannot. And I think that the Finance Committee should get to work on that. And I was trying to get them to work on it last Wednesday night, and they wouldn't do it. They took the cowardly way out instead of solving the problem themselves that they were supposed to solve. They just told somebody else to solve it and said they'd be punished if they didn't. I think that was very bad. But I don't want to adopt this motion, which I think has unrealistic assumptions in it.
Thank you, Mr. B. Ms. Grace?
Kim to the stack, please.
Okay. I think Ms. Grace is next on the stack.
Yeah, I agree with Alan.
Thank you, Chair.
That we have
Grace. Go ahead.
Okay. That we have to make significant cuts in expenses at KPFK. Absolutely. However, as most of the expense cuts will have to be payroll cuts, that is a very sensitive personnel matter and has to be done carefully by management, and it would not help for any for governance to get involved with that. I support this wholeheartedly because this is a statement by the local station board that we want a balanced budget that's realistic. It's well stated. It explains what's going on. We must have a balanced budget for KPFK. There is no money around. If KPFK has shortfalls, which it has had in the recent past, they will not be able to be covered by the other parts of Pacifica. And we could wind up losing our building, which would be a very bad thing. So we must get our budget in line. It's an emergency situation. So I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Mr. Lawrence, you're next from the stack.
Thank you, Chair. So I also support this motion because the bottom line is that one of the things that the GM has to do is he has to be able to cut, according to the National Finance Committee mandate, 30% of expenses. Now, as a person that's in a union and have experience negotiating, this is the time where the union has to make concessions. So in the negotiating process, I hope that is the case. I cannot say more than that, Bella, because of my commitment to confidentiality. Now, I would, you know, before we go into executive session, I would discuss with Grace and Jan, Paulina's not here today, in regards to if I'm able to disclose anything in regards to the negotiation process that's going on. I don't think I could, but if I get esteemed advice from my colleague Grace and from my colleague Jan Goodman in regards to being able to discuss that in executive session, I will consider that. But I think it's ultimately my decision. But I think it's also my decision not to say anything. So in a sense, I'm kind of muzzled, and I don't want to be. But this budget is way too little too late. And the fact is that if we would have had better financials, if we would have had them ahead of time, I believe the Finance Committee and the Treasurer would have been able to work on a budget that could have been receivable and approved. I want to remind the board members that it is our fiduciary responsibility to approve or reject the budget. And then
then it will go to the NFC. So I encourage the board members to really think this out, and I encourage you to vote yes on this motion. Thank you, Chair.
Fred for the
SAC. All right, thank you. All right, we have Mr. Michael next.
Fred for the SAC.
I got you.
Yeah, so I wanted to emphasize, I don't disagree with things Alan is saying, but I agree that the main change cuts that have to be made are in personnel, and those are cuts best made by management. We're not in a position to assess and evaluate the critical employment that is needed. I do think that there are additional cuts that can be made and should be made, including in management, either in hours or in positions. Because that's not covered by the contract, union contract. There are cuts in various perks and travel expenses and phones, a lot of other things that could be reduced and should be if we're trying to get a positive response from the union. I think the last thing to emphasize is the urgency of completing the financial data needed for the 2019 audit. Because the last time there was an attempt by management to reduce hours in lieu of layoffs, the union protested, and because Pacific was not able to produce accurate financial figures, the union won an arbitration, restoring their hours at a penalty. So I think that if we're going to go into these negotiations or we're in them, we have to have those figures as soon as possible, because they're going to demand to see the books, and they have the right to do so. And we have a responsibility to produce the books. So I think that this motion is the best we can do under the circumstances. I think that built into it, I just want to point out, is the idea that if anticipated revenues in any two-month period do not reach the anticipated level, management must make additional cuts in expenses to match the revenue shortfall. Even with the phony figures in the budget that we were presented, there were cash flow problems from the very beginning of the year, and we cannot allow more than a month to go by with that kind of problem. So whatever budget they come up with, we have the responsibility to enforce it and to make sure that management lives within it. And if the revenues do not reach the levels that the management is anticipating, then there have to be additional cuts in expenses. There's no way around it. So I would urge people to vote for the amendment and then for the entire motion. And remember, there is another motion from the Finance Committee, too.
All right. So, Ms. Kim, we have next in the stack.
Oscar. Okay. Oscar.
Ooh. I got you, Ms. Oscar. All right. So we have Ms. Kim.
Who's next on the stack?
I heard Oscar and somebody else,
Bella.
Too.
Bella.
Bella. Okay.
Okay. I got you down. Thank you.
So, I just want to say the union really has to make concessions because, as far as I can see, which is about 3 weeks, that as of September 1st, KPFK does not have the ability to pay its people. I mean, this is breaking federal laws. So something has to be done quickly. And there are many points to work on, not just the, you know, secret personnel stuff. There are, I mean, we spent two full extra finance meetings going through line by line all of the expenses, and I wrote it up, and I sent it to everyone, and I sent it to management. And, you know, from what I can tell, Michael Novick and I are the only ones who have read it. But we have given them a guideline. We have to have good numbers. You can't just say we're going to cut something if it cannot be cut, like the tower utilities or things that weren't even being booked correctly in the first place. There is just a lot of work to do, and it's not sudden. I mean, this is not, you know, there was plenty of information before I became chair available. It just wasn't really being looked at. I could see last year when we were getting all these bequests that, oh, we were going to run into trouble because the expenses kept ballooning out and the per day amount kept declining, and it was obvious it was going to wind up where it is now. So, you know, we've given management another 2 weeks to give us another budget. We'll do what we can. You know, nobody knows KPFK's business, finances, more than some of us on the local. NFC cannot do it. I mean, I've heard bad reports from them for the last year and a half. Oh, KPFK's, you know, revenue is doing much better and all that stuff, when that was, you know, not true, when you have all of the evidence. So, you know, if we can't do it on the local, then, you know, it's anybody's guess what happens as it moves up the food chain, where people have less information about any one station and less time to focus on any one station. So, you know, vote on this today. We'll do the best we can in 2 weeks, and we'll see where we're at. That's it. Thank you.
All right, we have Mr. Fred next on the stack.
Thank you, Chair. It was reported at the AMC last week that PPP funds ran out last Friday for Pacifica. In other words, the last payroll that was paid with PPP was on Friday. That's where Kim gets September 1st as her date for us falling off a cliff. Well, I don't know if they're not going to be able to, if KPFK is not going to be able to pay payroll by September 1st. They claimed, management claims to have raised $200,000 plus in a 15-day fund drive in July. In August. And I don't know if that money is real or not, what the fulfillment rate was on it, but there's definitely problems. So I just wanted to say that I'm reluctantly supporting Michael and Kim's motion to amend the budget to bring it into balance and bring it back to reality. And I don't think management has 2 weeks to get the house in order. Things are not going well. Thank you.
All right. Next, we have Mr. Oscar on the stack. And then Bella.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you. I didn't get stuck. You know, as LSD board member and also as a sustainer from KPSK, all of a sudden something hit me. We kept hearing from different people about the Sony numbers, the Sony issues, all these kind of things. And I'm just occurring to me once, this is a question for any of the directors or for the treasurer. When we refer to Sony business, do we know, in this case, there's anyone that we can put that responsibility directly? Is it something that is a something, you know, it's coming from before? And if so, if it's coming from before, the different options to cure, to solve this thing are not being taken, or it's definitely is something that we can point blank and say, you know, sir, you are not complying with most of your responsibilities, and in this case, the financial matters. And why is there so much, and if so, why is so much hesitance on putting out there if there is something like that? Me, as a small business owner, I kind of know as much of you, you know, most of how you're going to be managing your finances. And if at some point you discover something, well, we got to figure out something either to be more productive or to cut or where we are not doing well. So I'm wondering if in this case, well, if we can assume that this management has failed to that, and why it's not being so openly and pretty much public, you know, in the open. In this case, I don't know if as a LSD member or as a sustainer of KPSK for a long, long time. Thank you.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
We didn't know most of this stuff conclusively until a director's inspection was done, like 2 months ago. Okay? So There has been a lot of, I can only say neglect, for a number of years, letting expenses balloon out with no, not paying attention to it. I mean, you know, I forget how long you've been on this board, Oscar, but how many minutes has been spent on the finances, you know, in the last bunch of years? None. I mean, little, none. So it's just, we are where we are. And there's just sort of chaos. I don't know how to fix it. NIDA does their thing, and the local does their thing, and I don't know what that solution is. I'm just dealing with what numbers we have, what I can tell from my history of looking at these numbers. And that's pretty much what we can do right now. The bigger stuff, that'll have to wait. I mean, but we're just dealing with the available facts right now.
Am I next?
No, Bella's on the sack next.
Okay, thank you. I worked on the compiling the fiscal year audit for KPFK. I was hired for 3 months for the 2014 fiscal year budget. Immediately, I began sounding the alarm to the LSC. I was not on the LSB, and I have continued since. So I know this has been going on for a very long time. I also know that through the inspection report that Mr. Lawrence, Director Lawrence Reyes, gave us, we received fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19 bank reconciliations. And immediately, when I looked at those bank reconciliations, I knew there was a major problem. Where has the money gone? They're not reconciliations. And one bank reconciliation to the next month has no reference. And you have to have a continuation of reference, meaning the numbers. You end up with a number, you start with that number. There is no such thing. So neglect, incapacity. People have been hired at this position who have little competence. And so for that reason, we are where we are. But we are all responsible. And the leadership is responsible. There has been a leadership for a very long time. And so, you know, you can turn blue in the face. I have called on to this. No one has paid attention. That if you go to the bank reconciliations to try to see where the money, how the money is being accounted for, nobody seems to care. There is no reference from 1 month to the other. And these are many reports that we were given by Mr. Lawrence Reyes. And so I am a bookkeeper, but nobody's listening to me. No one is listening to me. So, Oscar, I would like to help, and I'm very much strapped. I want to ask Michael, in your motion, on your description, you say the 800,000K figure only has a percent. If we include very substantial past bequests, what do you mean by the 800K figure has a percent? What do you mean by that? Is there something missing there? I think so. You meant to enter, write up more information on that, right? Because that doesn't make sense.
Let me see the sentence.
Yeah. It's on the third.
Because however, recent historical amounts of additional income beyond on-air fund drives have amounted to about $250,000 apart from bequests. If provable anticipated income in the amount of $800,000 have been demonstrated, additional fund drives.
I am on your description.
No, forget the description. Don't worry about it. It's not in the motion.
Precedent.
It should be precedent. The $800,000 figure only has precedent if we include very substantial past bequests.
Okay.
Okay. The only basis, we had a couple of years where we took in about $800,000, but that was based on $500,000 in bequests.
Okay.
So as long as about $250,000 apart from bequests can be justified by historical experience.
Right. On factual. Right.
Yeah. So I would like to call the question. It's already 1 o'clock, and we have another motion from the Finance Committee.
We need to go to a vote.
Yes, go to a vote. I guess in the first motion.
I second that motion, Lawrence.
All right.
It was seconded. No,
it was seconded. Any objections? All right. So we're going to – the motion passes, and we can proceed with the vote.
No,
First on the amendment and then on the motion as amended.
Right, right. You just voted to end discussion, Paul.
Okay. All right, so the discussion is over, and now we could just proceed with the vote for the motion number one?
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah, first, I'm saying we would vote first on the amendment or ask if there's any objection to the amendment, and then if it's amended, on the motion as amended.
Right.
All right, so I guess let's vote on the amendment. Any objections to the amendment? All right, seeing none.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so that motion passes.
Sorry, so we are talking about it. I'm so sorry, but I want to define what the amendment.
I'm sorry. I'll send it to you. Janine, I'll send it to you.
Okay, I have it. I just want to make sure I'm very clear on the portion that is the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, so now it's amended. Now we're going to vote on it.
I don't see the amendment.
I think he's going to email it. Correct?
I don't see any amendment.
Who's speaking?
That's Bella.
Bella, the amendment is the language that I read and that you just referred to.
But you sent it to the LSB, right, Michael? So they don't have it. Right.
Yes.
So everybody has it.
So that was the amendment. I thought that was the motion.
It's an amendment to the motion we passed at the Finance Committee.
Oh, okay. It doesn't say anything about being an amendment. Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to proceed with the vote, right?
It's in the agenda. My amendment came as an email, and it takes out part of the language of the amendment of the motion that's in the agenda, referring to the fund drive days and the $800,000, and replaces it with the language in my amendment. And then that is incorporated into the amendment, into the motion as a whole.
Okay, it's just not clear. That's why Janine is confused. I'm confused.
Did you write them up together, Michael? Maybe, you know, you could do that and send it to the group or send it to Janine so she's not confused.
I can't copy stuff out of the PDF because when I do so, it doesn't appear. It's all garbled.
I'll do it.
On the border, Chair. On the border.
Wait.
Lawrence? Yes. Yes, Ms. Lawrence, uh-huh.
Yeah, this is kind of ridiculous. I don't know how members have an email address and have an email box and don't see what's obvious, which is the motion and all its components. So there was a call for the vote. I say that we go to the vote because that's what's in order, Chair.
All right. So call for the vote. Ms. Janine, I guess you do like a roll call so that we can vote.
Vote on
yes.
You could ask for if any objections first.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Any objections just to go to the vote? All right. Seeing none.
This is for the amendment to the motion?
I thought that passed already, the amendment.
Is this the a vote to the amendment of the motion?
The amendment
passed.
Please pay attention.
Barbara, staff, could you just review the motion that we're voting on, please?
Yeah, could you give a summary, Mr. Michael? We're kind of succinct.
Yeah,
about.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay, the Finance Committee recommends that the LSB not approve the most recent budget submitted by management and instead propose the following: a balanced budget of approximately $2,400,000 in total expenses based on demonstrable anticipated revenue streams, based on a fund drive chart indicating an 85% fulfillment rate on $15,000 a day in pledges, and additional income from historically justified sources, including monthly sustainers, car donations, grants in hand, studio rentals, book sales, etc. A suggested fund drive chart might cover 6 21-day on-air fund drives in October, December, February, April, June, and August, for total under the formula above of a little over $1.6 million, if $800,000 in specified improvable additional income can be identified in a fashion to meet the station's monthly cash flow for payroll and other expenses. If provable anticipated income in that amount cannot be demonstrated, additional fund drive days and or additional reductions in anticipated expenses will be required for a balanced budget proposal. During the course of the fiscal year, if anticipated revenues in any two-month period do not reach the anticipated level, management must make additional cuts in expenses to match the revenue shortfall. Further, the KPFK Finance Committee, the LSB directs the general manager and business manager of KPFK to present a balanced budget within the above parameters by August 25th, 2020 at 5 p.m. If KPFK management fails to present such a budget, the IED is expected to create one with the assistance, if needed, of the KPFK Finance Committee and or LSB. If KPFK management fails to comply with the above, negative personnel reports shall be sent to the personnel files of the GM and business manager.
You read more than what you sent.
I read the entire motion from the Finance Committee as amended by my prior amendment.
Right.
And how come we do not have
I request that we go to the vote. This is ridiculous, yeah. Bella. You really need to pay attention.
Michael, I just sent you the language if you want to send it out.
Where is the language for this motion?
Yeah, you said you're going to send it out.
It's in the agenda.
Look, Bella,
there was an order
no.
that we
vote
put
no,
to the
Bella.
Vote.
Just vote no.
All right,
people
so let's move to the vote.
On.
All right, so we're going to move on. They're going to email it out, but we're going to proceed to the vote. Ms. Janine, can you do the roll call for the vote?
Okay, so this is for the finance motion number one with the amendment.
Yes.
Aaron?
Yes, ma'am.
Great,
Aaron,
are you
in favor?
Let me pass.
Ken Aaron?
I think he's muted.
I'll go to Michael Adler.
Yes.
Michael Atkins.
Yes.
Alan Beek.
No.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Sandy Child. Sandy
Child. Go back to her.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
Jen Goodman.
This is Grace. I'd like to vote yes.
Thank you.
And Aaron, I vote yes.
Thank you. Sandy Child. Jen Goodman. Beth Van Guten.
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Avelia Jones.
No.
Ali Lexa. Not sure he's on. Barbara Marbach.
No.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
James Osborne. Lydia Ponce.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Paul Roberson.
Yes.
Mansoor Sabah. Oscar Uyaw.
Yes.
Helena is not here. Harvey Wasserman.
No.
Deanna Williams. Okay, so I'll go back to Sandy Childs. Dan Goodman. Ali Lexa. James Osborne. Mansoor Sabah. And Kiana Williams. So that is 13 yeses, 4 noes, for a total of 17 votes.
All right.
Bobby.
The motion passes.
Thank
then we
you,
have motion
everyone.
Number. Thank you. So we have motion number 2, Finance Committee, I guess, to approve the following motion at the July 8th meeting.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me a second. Shoes. Crap. Sorry. I'm sorry, folks.
I can read it if you like.
No, I have it. Okay. The Finance Committee approves the following motion at the July 8th meeting. The KTFK Finance Committee requests from management a list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by program, programmer, times each program has run, with a fulfillment rate, and how much the premiums cost and net loss or profit for the last 3 years. The LSB approved it at the July 19th meeting. The GM was present and said he couldn't comply with any of it for 6 months. So, therefore, the Finance Committee requests that the GM provide what is already available. A, quote, list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by program programmer, unquote, has already been published in the GM's recent fund drive report. We request the addition of, quote, times each program has run, unquote, which must be by definition already available in order to make the list. The fulfillment rate is required for properly making the budget. So, that's the motion. I mean, you know, there was stuff in that original motion I let get in there, and it gave, you know, the general manager the opportunity to say, well, we can't do that. But I'm revising it to say, well, you can do this, and this is already available, and we would like this part of that motion.
All right, so we have the motion. I guess any objections?
I have a question. Is this for the board to support?
Yes, and then send to the general manager.
The Finance Committee. No, well, it It's a finance committee request. What is the motion that the LSB supports the request, or what are we asking from the LSB?
Chair, this is Lawrence. Can I attempt to answer that question?
It's in the last paragraph, Janine. Therefore, the finance committee requests that the GM provide blah, blah, blah. So we want the LSB to approve this and then send it to the GM, saying, please send this to the finance committee.
So, Mr. Lawrence, you understand?
No, that's basically what I wanted to say.
All right.
Well, I understand that. I'm wondering if the wording needs to be different.
Yeah, point of order.
Yeah, please.
I'll make an amendment to say that the LSB requests that the GM provide the Finance Committee what is already available.
Okay.
The LSB requests that the GM provide the Finance Committee what is already available. That would be the motion itself.
What was that language, Michael? Let me write it down. So the
LSB requests that the GM provide the Finance Committee.
Wait, therefore the LSB requests? Okay, so we're removing the Finance Committee request.
I'm scrapping the therefore. I'm removing all the previous language. The LSB requests that the GM provide the Finance Committee what is already available, quota list, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
The additional times each program is run.
Right. Okay. Okay.
All right. So I think you all have the motions in your email. So I'll go to the vote. Any objections to going just to vote? All right. Hearing no objections, can we do the roll call for the vote for the motion number two?
Thank you. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Do we have any objection?
I'm sorry?
Are there any objections? There's no.
We're in the middle of the vote. Just go to the vote. There's people that are going to vote no.
Right.
Like they did before.
Right. With no explanation.
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Michael Adler?
Yes.
Michael Atkins?
Yes.
Alan Beek?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm having some trouble. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Sandy Child? Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Jen Goodman? Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Lexa? Barbara Marbach?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
James Osborne? Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Paul Roberson?
Yes.
Mansoor Sabah? Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Okay, that's unanimous. 17 out of 17 votes.
All right. Well, motion passes. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, so moving right along. Next is the Outreach Committee. We have 15 minutes allocated for that. Is that Ms. Bella?
Thank you, Paul. Well, I will not use
Can someone be muted? I will not use any of it. I do not have an update. We have been meeting. The meeting has centered around what needs to happen with the bylaws through a bylaws convention to actually allocate powers to the LSB so that the LSB can carry out its oversight duty. And one reason why we are in the mess financially that we are is because LSBs have no powers whatsoever under the bylaws, the current bylaws. So we have been listening to a lot of old-timers, and this is their complaint, that they have no voice at the station, and we that are elected as representatives to represent them at the LSB cannot do the bidding for them. So regarding the town hall event, there's supposed to be a town hall, a national town hall event this month in August. And I need to ask Michael Novick, I have not heard much on this anymore. Is this something that is in the works?
I have no, I'm not involved with the PMB. You'd have to ask one of the directors. I believe it still is. I thought it was mentioned in Grace's report.
No, there has been no mention of a town hall in August.
Chair, this is Lauren, and I attempt to answer that.
Director, yes, sir. I was muted. I'm sorry.
I thought it was mentioned in Grace's report. So... I have a little bit more specific information, Michael. So in regards to that, the town hall is going to be, I believe, the last Saturday of the month, and it will happen, Bella. There's more information to come out. We've been bogged down with finances right now, so that's why there hasn't been a more
okay,
detailed.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. So it looks to me. On a timeline, and I said this a few months ago when we began talking about doing a local town hall, that I did not foresee this possibly happening for a few months. But what I see happening here is that once we get our budget underway, the budget may be approved, hopefully we get the right numbers, that we may be then moving into a different phase. By then we will have different responses regarding union negotiations, and that we will be in a better position to then impress upon management to open up the space for negotiating to hold a town hall event fully transparent with call-in from the Signal area. So it would be a major undertaking, one that the station has been resisting doing. So I'm putting the horse in front so that it can open up the space. So I'm looking perhaps, hopefully, September, October, and that will be late in the year. But at least once we get it going, then it will be moving forward. It will become a template. So we already have an outline. It's just a matter of the cooperation from the station. So I'm looking forward to joining and promoting the national town hall event, because that will be our model. Thank you, Lauren.
Michael, to the stack.
Mr. Michael, yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe I made a motion. It was passed some time ago that we schedule a KPFK LSB town hall no later than September. And let me finish speaking. I don't think we should delay it to try to get it on the air. If the management is resistant to putting it on the air, we still have to go ahead. The PNB town hall is not necessarily broadcast. I think WBAI might have carried some of it. But in general, town halls in the past have not been broadcast because they've been live events and people attend in person. I think that we need to go ahead and schedule an LSB town hall for some time no later than mid-September, and proceed to carry it out. If we can get it on the air, I think that's preferable, but not essential.
And we need to go. We have to do what we're supposed to do, no matter what management does. We are mandated to hold 2 town halls a year,
right?
For listener input, and we need to do so.
Right. So let me respond to that. I do not foresee this being possible mid-September, but I do see being possible at the end of September. That means that we will have to utilize the YouTube channel in order to carry this out so that we can have promoted properly locally. This presents a great challenge, but that's my 2 cents on that. That will require a great deal of cooperation from the LSB membership and others.
All right, thanks, Ms. Bella.
Okay, thank you.
So next we have the fundraising committee.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Anybody have a report for the fundraising committee?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The fundraising committee hasn't met again. We did pass the motion and it went through the LSB to create a development task force. We made the decision to combine the development task force at KPFK with the P&B Development Task Force, and so a number of us from the LSB and other people from the listening area, so that includes myself and Eric Jacobson, also Steve Kaiser, have been participating in discussions with the P&B Development Task Force, trying to identify certain campaigns around major donors and other methods of trying to raise funds. So we did carry out that one attempt to do a fundraiser basically to the board members. That was not very successful, unfortunately. We have another meeting scheduled. Eric, do you remember when Nancy set that up for? I forget.
I believe it's tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll double check.
Okay, so that's five. People can probably check it on kpftx.org. It's the P&B Development Task Force, and we're participating in that rather than trying to duplicate efforts or reinvent the wheel. We did, submitted to the IED proposed letter to send for the foundation to a number of different agencies that provide pro bono assistance on fundraising and other matters, social media expertise, and so on. And also I'll mention I have sent, and the GM has also sent to people some different webinars that I think would be beneficial to people. There is some free training available already, and we're trying to see if we can get some more help with the idea of involving our board members in seeking requests and plan giving donations. And I think that it would behoove us to take some of that online course material and begin that process. I realize most of us are uncomfortable with the idea of raising money, and it's not the primary responsibility of the local boards, but it would improve the financial picture and improve the relations, I think, between the board and management if we could demonstrate some success with that level of funding.
Eric, to the back with a correction.
Bella, to the seat.
All right, Mr. Eric. And then Ms. Bella?
The next meeting of the P&B Development Task Force that Michael alludes to is Monday, August 24th at 5:30 p.m. It's posted
okay, so tomorrow. Thank you.
A week from tomorrow. It's posted at kpftx.org, I believe, already. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Bella?
Yes, I want to mention that for a few months now, I have been working with a listener, an old-time listener, many years, putting together a comprehensive list of who's who in the entertainment world, the money world. The question, of course, is a daunting task. I also drafted an appeal letter, but it's a daunting task. It's a long list, but I'm working on that project. What I would like to do is bridge it over to the fundraising committee when ready.
But Michael, I have a question. Lawrence, you said that the national town hall will be held at the end of August. I have not heard any promotion on it, and you have not heard any promotion on it. We need to use this as a template to hold our local town hall event. So I guess this goes to Lauren. I thought that you were involved in that as well, that we need to get some information on this. Thank you.
Lawrence to the stack.
All right, Mr. Lawrence.
Okay, so we're trying to get it announced, at least on our website, and it's in the process of making a card. But, you know, there's some pushback, as there always is, some pushback in some of the stations willing to air the card. So we're in struggle, and I'll try to have more information. If I get it, I'll email it to the LSP. Thank you.
All right. Any additional comments? All right. So next we have the Program Oversight Committee, which I guess we're in the process of trying to reestablish. I believe Michelle was actually the chairperson of this committee, so we had to have her replaced. Would anybody be interested in joining this committee?
Back to the stack?
Yes, ma'am.
When we were all first seated on the board back at the end of last year, Janine passed around sign-up sheets to various committees, and I signed on for the programming committee. And I had already attended one programming oversight committee before I was seated on the board, just to get my feet wet, get a sense of what the process was. There were a couple of attempts to hold a meeting. There was no one. This is the first that I'm hearing that Michelle had intended to chair that committee. I think it would help if we.
Yes, that's not what we're talking about. You're talking about the National Programming Committee, and what we're talking about is constituting the Program Oversight Committee. Yeah.
However, I think what Beth is raising is an order in the following thing. In terms of committee reports, we said that we were going to try to reconstitute the LSB Programming Oversight Committee at this meeting.
Right.
So Beth had volunteered to convene that, but we haven't really met again this year. Probably maybe had one meeting or maybe none. I don't remember. So I think she's asking for who want to join the Program Oversight Committee.
I'm saying that we do have a list of some people who already signed up. I think if other people are interested and want to take part, I think that's great. We need to pick a date and just show up. And at that point, then we can decide, we can cajole somebody into being chair and take it from there. And we mostly just need to start. I hesitate to take on this. I'll convene the first meeting, but I've got enough other responsibilities right now. I hesitate to spread myself any thinner. I do want to get it going, and I would show up. So maybe I should look at the calendar and put forth a date.
I have a question. Does Janine should have that list, right, Janine?
Well, I requested it early this week and then again yesterday, and I guess it's come in now, but I haven't had time to look at it in the middle of the meeting. I mean, there's just too much to do in the run-up to a meeting and during the if it's there, I'm grateful for it, and I'll look at it after the meeting. I would like it if all of our committees were posted someplace, if we had a page on the website dedicated to board committees and who's the chair and how to contact and what the schedule is. So it's all in one place. And we know who's on what, and and I'd like to, us to work toward that. And I would like to propose Monday the 14th, if that's not in conflict with anything else, of September. Or can we, let's make it Monday the 24th of August. That's sooner, and it just gets the ball off the road. That's not a holiday weekend. Monday the 24th at 7 p.m.?
Yeah. August the 24th, that's the Monday.
Right.
What time?
Are there, 7 p.m.
Okay, I will be there. This is the programming oversight.
Thank you, and if anyone who's interested or who knows they're on that list could just email me to touch base. We can set this thing in motion, and I will go through whatever information I've been sent and contact anybody I don't hear from. And so thank you so much. I'm sorry if this was the wrong place on the agenda. I wasn't sure where it needed to sit. So. That's
thank
all.
You.
Thank you.
Grace for the chat.
Someone's phone was really muffled. Was that Ms. Grace?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should open up nominations for who wants to serve on the National Programming Committee. And I'd like to nominate Michael Atkins because I know he has a strong interest in programming, and he might be interested in that committee. But, of course, anyone else who wishes to be on the committee should either be nominated or nominate themselves to replace Michelle Manos. This is to replace Michelle Manos on that National Committee.
All right. Well, then, I'm just, yeah. Whoever's talking, your phone is really weird.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, just to talk on from what Ms. Aaron said, I'm part, me and Paulina Vasiliev, also you're from KPMK, we are members of the National Programming Committee, and actually we were about to ask precisely if somebody wants to join in with Michelle Manu and us. As a member report, we've been convening almost every 2 weeks at a national level with an excellent support of the original members who said that they're surprised that we were kind of going forward as fast as we are, with participation for all other stations, and also for a lot of affiliates who are really interested on the general health and shape. And where, with the focus of the our best product is pretty much our programming, and when again making the invitation for somebody who wants to join into this really important committee, and if they want to get in touch with me or with Paulina, and then we can put it up to the date on where we be going. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think Ms. Grace opened up nominations for Michelle's spot. Are there any other nominations or anyone that would like to nominate themselves? All right, seeing none, I guess Mr. Michael Adler, I guess that's your new spot.
No,
congratulations.
Michael Adkins.
Adkins, I'm sorry.
Well, if he's willing to be on that committee, that national committee.
Just that I unmuted now to jump back in. I would love to be able to attend that meeting and understand what all, just kind of get the flow for it before agreeing to chair it. So you can sign me up for attending the meeting on the 24th that was proposed. But at this time, I would not like to just jump into a chair position, if that's all right. Thank you.
No, it's not to be chair, Michael. This is just to be on the national. Beth was talking about a local programming committee. This is a national committee that has representation from people from all the five Pacifica stations.
And great. As long as it's – in fact, I'm open to that as long as it's not a chair position. That's perfect. Thank you.
Not a chair position. Right. You're replacing the member, the LSV member who resigned, Michelle Manos. It's not a chair position. Let me tell you when that
comes. Roger that.
Oscar, do you know when the committee is going to meet? I'm going to look at the calendar. It meets, does anyone know when the programming committee meets. I think it
was. That will. Excuse me, Ms. Aaron. That will be next Sunday at 10:30 Pacific time. 10:30 next Sunday.
Actually, I see it. It's listed on KPFTX, and it's meeting at 10 a.m. next Sunday morning.
That's Eastern time.
That's correct.
Pacific. It's 1 o'clock. Wait a second. Yeah, 10 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Maybe they'll send that out in the email.
I'll explain it to you, Michael, later.
That'd be great to receive this via email. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, great.
All right, Bella, yes, Bella.
Yes, I want to welcome Michael Atkins at this committee at the national level because that's he can do some good stuff there. So thank you. And also at the local level. So that's great. I'll see you. I'll hear you then.
Thank you very much. Jumping right on board. All right, so next we have the public comment. Is there any
public comment number three?
Number three, correct. Uh-huh.
Ask Fred if there are any people waiting to speak.
Currently not.
Yeah, Mr. Fred.
Let me read off the pin code for the to call in. It's 674514. And the phone number is area code 323-393-4046. And by the way, what is the status on the vote for the new chair for the LSB?
Madam Secretary?
We're finalizing a spreadsheet right now.
So before we do that, so there's no one on hold for public comment. Is Ms. Kim on the line? I know she always has a comment.
Kim Kaufman has hung up.
Okay. All righty. I think she's going to compile the voting information now.
Question, where will the results be posted?
They will be published today, but we may get a heads up
where?
Right now. Via email.
Yes, Mr. Lawrence. Uh-huh.
So we have 1 minute before we go into closed session.
Okay. So next we have a new business. Anybody have any new business?
Mr. Paul, we're waiting for the secretary.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to just kind of cover everything that we have.
Back
out
a piece of new business. I think it'll be just a moment.
Ali?
Yes, Mr. Ali?
Yes, did instructions go out on how to join the closed session?
You know what? I don't believe, no.
Okay.
Hold on, Fred here.
Thank you.
The closed session will use the same PIN codes. It's just the only difference is that I'll cut the live stream, and there will be no live stream. So we'll have
okay.
So the same PIN codes will suffice.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I did have a piece of new business. I would like the LSB to go on record as opposing the proposed sale of the Peace Center and liquidation of the Arison, Carolyn and Agnes Peace Center Foundation.
I second that, Lawrence.
Didn't we set the closed meeting for 2:30?
Point of information, please.
Yes, if I can.
This is off the agenda, right? You're just originating this?
It's new business. Yes, on the agenda, we have an item for new business. I did send it as a request to have that piece of new business on the agenda.
Could you just state it again? Are we in closed session now?
No.
This is open session. This is a request from a member of the public for public comment.
Yes.
Wait a second. Hold on. Are we in public comment now?
Yeah.
We were in public comment when someone was there.
Please let the member speak.
Yes. Welcome to extension 15 minutes to public comment and new business.
Is this new business or not?
No, this is public new business.
How many times?
At the time, there was nobody there for public comment, but since she's here now, let's allow her to speak. Okay. Hello, ma'am.
I thank you very much. The note on KPFTX said not to call in, but to listen on the stream and call only when there's public comment. But because we don't have an agenda, we don't know when there's public comment until you say public comment, and then we have to go find the number to call in. So that's the reason for my delay. I wanted to so thank you for your time and hi to everyone out there. I wanted to point out that unless Michelle Manos's resignation and replacement on committees was noticed at the time that the meeting was noticed, appointing Mr. Atkins, I think, I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the name, but Grace Aaron, who knows better, knows that a notice of an election must go along with the notice of the meeting for such an election to be valid. So the person who was just nominated and elected cannot legally sit on the PNB programming committee, and it's nothing personal. Don't even know for sure who that is. But that's not proper. And I am concerned by both the disparaging and extremely disrespectful tone that I heard coming from the finance committee chair speaking about staff. You do not have to love your management, but you should treat every worker, and managers are workers too. You should treat everyone with respect, certainly the kind of respect that one would normally expect in a workplace. And because you are governance, this is their workplace. You know, you can make your point. You can argue the numbers. You can argue anything you want, but you don't have to dehumanize the person in the process. And I don't know whether this LSB ever made formal its condolences to the GM on the passing of his father recently. But if someone says, I'm out of town on a family matter, I don't think somebody should be making an issue of that when they know there was a recent loss in the family. I just want to say that. I've seen Angel Seals one time. Okay, so this isn't personal. But we want to behave as humans at all times. There's a lot of interruption. There's someone who puts on a particular noise every time Bella starts to speak. It's very irritating from this end, listening. And there were a number of people, including people I respect, who found it necessary to interrupt her and sort of seize the floor, which I think is also disrespectful, not just to the chair, but to the rest of the body. When people were speaking, there's nothing you have to say, however accurate you may be, that requires you to do that. You ask for the floor. You get the floor. You make your point. That's how that works. Otherwise, it's not a meeting. It's a mess.
Yes.
This is Alan Bink asking for the floor.
Not at this moment. You're a member of the board. I'm a member of the public, and this is public comment, respectfully. And I don't know you either. So, again, nothing personal, but we can behave better than this. You know, I understand why young people don't want to get involved with Pacifica. And we need them not just in programming occasionally where they can, you know, force their way in, but we need them in governance because, frankly, most people in Pacifica are well over 60. Somebody could live to be 100, somebody could live to be 30. But if we do not behave as intelligent human beings when we're interacting with each other, young folks just want to get the work done. They don't want the drama. They don't want the BS. They will not stick around for it. And guess what? If they are not here, Pacifica is not here, because we are on our way out. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You feel yourself,
point of personal privilege, Chair Lawrence?
Mr. Lawrence, yes.
I really appreciate the comments of the member. I must admit that I did interrupt a couple of times. In regards to Mr. Fields' law, I didn't know that he had lost his dad. I know what losing someone is. So I just want to send my condolences and my heartfelt empathy in regards to Mr. Field losing somebody who's transitioning to the other side. So anyway, and I think I like to have the board's consent to that, if that's possible, Chair, to that sentiment.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Point of information, this is Ken. This is Ken with a point of information. What are we doing? Can I call the orders of the day so we go on with the meeting?
I believe we set the time for 2:30 to reconvene for the confidential meeting.
Yes.
And if we have nothing to do in the meantime, I move that we adjourn until 2:30.
Michael, to the stack, I made a previous motion to extend the meeting to 10 minutes.
There's a motion on the stack.
I second to extend the meeting for 10 minutes.
But my question has not been answered. Point of information, what are we doing? What's on the agenda to do?
And don't be so uptight. And
What's on the agenda? There are a lot of those.
I answered your question.
We have closing business and adjournment, but we're way over as far as the meeting is concerned. So I think Mr. Novak had asked to add 15 minutes to the meeting or the agenda.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
For what?
10?
Paul?
Okay. I answered your question. I made a motion that we adjourn until 2:30. What we are doing is responding to that motion.
Yes, but there was prior stuff on the floor before your motion was made, which was my motion and then my motion to extend the meeting so we could deal with my motion to oppose the sale of the Peace Center and the liquidation of the Peace Center Foundation.
For new business.
Do you hear me calling my name?
Who was that?
Avelia.
Okay, yeah, you'll be next, but I mean, Michael Novak is kind of on the floor right now, has a floor.
Thank
he has a motion on the table. So his motion is to.
If there's no objection to my motion, I would ask that it be adopted without objection.
Any objection?
Why don't you repeat it again, Michael, so everybody's clear? It's short.
That the LSB go on record opposing the sale of the Peace Center and the liquidation of the Peace Center Foundation.
Okay.
All right. Any objections?
Point of order, Ken Aaron, point of order.
Yes.
I'm completely ignorant of any data or information about the sale of this institution. I mean, you might as well say you're opposed to the renovation of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. Who knows what's involved here? It's not an issue that has to deal with Pacifica. And we don't have any data on it, so we can't even take a correct position as it aligns with the bylaws. It's completely devoid of any motivation. You're just asking us to do it on the good faith of what you want to support. And I don't know anything about it. I haven't heard word one about it. In fact, maybe it's just a rumor that they're going to sell it.
Lawrence, to the point of order. This network has passed resolutions in regards to genocide, in regards to the students that were being brutalized in Puerto Rico. It has passed many cents of the body.
and that is nothing that is out of order. In particular, Chair, it is in order because we are on a new business, and there was an extension request of time, and there was no objection. So this is all in order, and I suggest that the member, I suggest that the member not be so rigid. Not be so rigid. If you don't know about it, abstain or vote no, Ken. You are out of order, Ken. You are too rigid.
I will motivate it. We meet until the COVID crisis. We've been meeting monthly in the Peace Center free of charge for many, many years. The Peace Center is an enormous community resource, and under the terms of Arizona Agnes's will and in creating the foundation, it was meant to be there in perpetuity. So we are immediately impacted once the COVID crisis is over. If we're trying to meet somewhere, it's going to affect this local station board immediately and directly. That's why I wanted to pass the motion. The Peace Center has been posted for sale, and an effort is being made by Demos and Agnos to basically terminate the foundation. It's not just the building itself; it's the whole thing. So numerous organizations are immediately and directly impacted, including the Center for Studied Political Graphics, the National Lawyers Guild, the California Clean Money Campaign, and other California nonprofit organizations that are housed at the Peace Center, but it also affects us directly. So
Office
that was the reason
Americas.
I brought it to the LSP.
I second the motion.
Motion. Motion has been seconded. Any objections?
No.
Hearing none. So it's unanimous. Motion passes. So
I'm
now
sure
we're.
Janine has
pardon?
The language.
Oh, she has the language, Ms. Janine?
Janine has the language.
I'll forward it. I'll send it in an email.
Good.
Okay. Our Miss Avelia was in the stack. I know you've been waiting patiently.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you to the person from the public who spoke so well. But here's what I want to say. When you announce the next chairperson, I would like to hope that they can reset who's on what committee, because that's become very fuzzy to me. I can't speak for anyone else. But if that can happen, please, a new post out about who's on which committee, and that would make a great improvement. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Request
for yes,
Ms.
Grace. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I would like to know if we have the results of the chair election yet. And also I'd like to know, it's getting kind of late, but can we put the agenda item of an open discussion about programming on the next LSV agenda. Just postpone it till the next open LSV meeting.
Second.
All right, second. That's cool. Anyone opposed? All right. Hearing none? Or any motion passes? So next is just closing business and adjournment. Any closing business?
Paul, do we have a chair election?
The secretary.
Oh, yeah.
Can you ask the secretary?
Oh, yeah. I thought she was going to email that. Ms. Janine, do you have the elections for the chair? The outcome?
I think she may be muted.
No, I'm not muted. I am corresponding with John right now to be able to put the results in a different format, and I should have it shortly. I need to be able to leave this call in order to do it, though, I'm afraid, because it's not happening via email so that I can stay on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
But Janine, other than – oh, Janine hung up.
Yeah, she said she had to hang up to put it, I guess, in there on her computer for the email.
Yeah, I was just
so I guess we'll just keep going and then.
Could Fred be recognized? I just wanted to know if Janine could give us the informal results rather than the formal report.
She's working on that, Fred.
Yeah.
She's working with John on getting the results. Whatever the results.
I will not be available at that time, period.
Who is that speaking?
James Osborne.
Sounds like
no, it's not.
Michael Adler.
Oh.
He probably
Michael
doesn't.
Adler.
Oh, Michael.
He doesn't realize he's not muted.
Sorry, guys.
Can we move forward with the closed session?
Yeah, so I guess it's, right now it's – do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Point of information, Eric Jacobson. Could I ask,
yes.
are we to just stay on this line and wait for the word from Fred that the closed session is commencing because he took us offline? Or do we